This is PFW in Progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more shit we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can't you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're a tourist.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just says is bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision you're going to hear. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Imagine you're a deer. You're prancing along, you get thirsty, you spot a little brook, put your little deer lips down to the cool, clear water. Bam! Bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a what kind of pants the son of a who shot you was wearing?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch here. The guys will be here momentarily. It's kind of like the first day back at work, believe it or not. Now the Patriots are back into their normal weekly schedule with Bill Belichick doing his daily press conference from the media workroom.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, we can't either. And the players having availability in the locker room rather than on the practice field. So, you know, of course, they've only been doing it for like, you know, 5 years. So this throws everybody into a tizzy and Paul doesn't know what to do. But they'll be here eventually. Lots to talk about, obviously. We got to start with that preseason game. Sunday night, it did not look good.
Boring!
You know, but I have a theory about that, and I think it's a little bit more than a theory, which I'm going to get into in a little bit, which I think might explain a little bit about why the game looked like it did, and also why Tom Brady may not have played in the game and didn't even make the trip. So it's just my theory. But I'm sticking with it, and I'll get into that in a minute. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. A lot of emails already in. We're going to try to get to as many as we can between now and 2 o'clock. And I just want to thank all the guys from EEI who were here yesterday and left all the headsets on so all the batteries drained out. That's really good. So, you know, that's good use of our equipment. Anyway, on that show, Patriots Monday, that debuted yesterday, Tom Brady was on in the morning and had, you know, excellent interview, as he always does with EEI, usually more revealing than any of the other interviews that he did. He went on to say that the foot injury is not, I repeat, not related to the injury that he had at the end of last season, although it is on the same foot. However, he also intimated that, you know, if Sunday night's game was a regular season game, he probably would have played. But, you know, they just thought that it was the best thing for him not to go down. Now, let's get into my theory here. Why didn't Brady make the trip? Why didn't he play? And why did that game look oh so bad? Why did it look like Tampa Bay was quote-unquote, taking it seriously, and at times the Patriots weren't. If you listen to Bill Belichick's interview yesterday on EEI as well, Patriots Monday, he mentioned that Tampa Bay was blitzing a lot, and it looked like Tampa Bay actually schemed for that game. In other words, spent some time in practice last week getting ready for the Patriots. And he said, you know, if teams want to do that, that's fine. That's what they feel is best for the team and how they want to go about their preseason game. But he also made it pretty clear that the Patriots did not do that, that the Patriots are going to run there, what they wanted to get done in that game, regardless of what the Buccaneers were showing in terms of blitz, things like that. Now, here's my theory. Last week, most of the camps, including the Buccaneers, were still open. Anyone can go. I'm sure the Patriots, like other teams, have people looking at other teams' practices and seeing what they're working on. And maybe the word got out that the Buccaneers were going to run a real blitz-heavy game against the Patriots. Okay, knowing that, and knowing maybe Brady's not 100%, and knowing that you're still working on trying to, you know, get that offensive line healthy, and that the guys out there aren't necessarily the guys you're going to be starting the season with, maybe you don't risk Tom Brady in a game like that with a team that's actually schemed for you and is going to run a lot of blitzes. Maybe you don't put Tom Brady, who really you need September 7th and not now, maybe you don't risk him in a game like that. Just speculation. I'm just guessing that might have factored in to why Tom Brady didn't make the trip. And if that's the case, might have also factored into why that game looked so god-awful on the side of the Patriots. You know, where Castle and O'Connell were running for their lives at times because the Buccaneers were blitzing. You know, and it didn't look like, you know, usually, with the exception of that game we won't mention last year, usually the Patriots are really good when it comes time to pick up the blitz on, like, third down or any time a team, you know, sends more. Usually the Patriots are ready for that. They'll run a screen. They'll dump something out to a running back, you know, on a quick one over the heads of the on-rushing linebackers or something like that. Usually they can deal with those types of mismatches in terms of numbers. But it didn't seem like they had any clue what to do on Sunday. And I think a lot of that had to do with the Patriots, you know, really not taking into consideration what the Bucs were doing defensively and deciding they're just going to run what they're going to run. And, you know, if you want to call that game planning, fine. But I think that the Buccaneers, more or less, as far as you can for a preseason game planned a little bit more than the Patriots did for that game. And I think that's why, you know, we saw, you know, the kind of imbalance in the performance. Now, having said that, I think that that might be a little bit of an excuse for the Patriots offense. It certainly is not an excuse for the Patriots defense. The Patriots defense, I think, took a step back from week one. And, you know, in the game, when the starters were in there, I think the Patriots really allowed the Buccaneers to nickel and dime them down the field. And, you know, Harrison was out. Yep. Adalius Thomas was out. Okay. Pierre Woods was in for him. But for the most part, all the three linemen, Seymour, Will Fork, Warren, they were all in the game. Brewski was in next to Mayo. Vrabel was in there. Now, he looked a little rusty at first, but he was in there. And in the backfield, you know, you had Fernando Bryant, you had Merriweather, you had Ellis Hobbs, who, you know, again, might have been a little rusty, but he was in there. James Sanders was not. So, you know, that's someone who might contribute a little bit more once the season gets on. And, of course, Harrison wasn't in there. But, you know, we're talking, you know, 80% of the starters were there. And, you know, they really didn't look good against a Buccaneers team, which, hey, they didn't have their starting quarterback either. I mean, you know, Greasy was, you know, could end up being the starter this year. But what's his name? What's the starting quarterback for the Bucs? I forget. You know, Garcia. Garcia was not playing in that game, so they were playing with their backup. And the Patriots didn't look good on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, my theory about the game planning and keeping Brady out, that doesn't hold water when you come and start talking about the Patriots' defense. So that's something that the Patriots are going to have to shore up. I saw Vrabel miss two tackles on that first drive. That he usually doesn't miss. One was in the backfield, and one was, you know, would have stopped the play for, you know, 1 or 2 yards. I'm counting that up. I'm tossing that up to the fact that this is his first time really back, and he's a little rusty. But what was happening there is the Buccaneers were getting so much on first and second down that by the time they got to third down, you know, it was third and one, third and two, very easily converted plays. And that's why the Patriots just couldn't get off the field, is because their base defense wasn't coming through. And they're just going to have to shore that up this week. This being the third game coming up against the Eagles Friday night, I'm sure the starters will play, if not for all of the first half, for most of the first half. We'll get a little better indication of what's you know, what kind of progress they've made all week. But it is something of concern. Brandon Merriweather limped off the field. We don't know the status of him. But that would be, you know, somewhat of a loss. You know, the second-year player really looked in camp like he stepped things up and a lot more confident, a lot more sure of where he's supposed to be in the field. That showed in the first preseason game, I thought. He was around the ball, made some pretty hard hits, and it's disappointing to see him hurt. Let's hope that it's not something that's going to drag on, like a hamstring or something like that. Let's hope that it's something that he'll be able to come back from in short order. But, you know, you have to look at that now with, you know, James Sanders out as well. Now all of a sudden, and Harrison out. Now all of a sudden, a position that was pretty deep, safety, is now a little thin. Enter John Lynch. Lynch played about, I think, between 5 and 10 reps in the game. Looked okay. I mean, as good as you could expect. I mean, I wasn't even really expecting him to be more than a couple plays. But he was out there, made a tackle, kind of, you know, feeling his way through the system. So it's going to take a little while before John Lynch can contribute. And I still wonder, if everyone's healthy, what will his role be, you know, with Harrison out there? He's not going to be that fast in coverage. He can play the line up close, but you assume Harrison's going to have that role on first and second down. So it'll still be a work in progress to see what kind of contribution John Lynch will have this season. But it's good to have him, believe me, especially now with Sanders and Harrison both out, Merriweather nicked up. It's good to have Lynch. It's now the question, how quickly can he assimilate himself into the Patriots defense? He said he was had his nose in the books, you know, checking out the playbook. So we'll see. He's a smart guy. It won't be a question of can he pick it up. It's just how long will it take. So a big week of practice for the Patriots this week. It's not open to the public. Training camp is over. It ended Friday. So now you're going to have to rely on whatever information we can get from the players after practice in the locker room. I don't think we're even allowed to be at the practice like the media isn't allowed to be at the practice. They're allowed to be at like the first 15 minutes, which is basically stretching and unit drills. So it's going to be really hard from this point on to know what's going on in Patriots practice as it always has been. We're just going to have to rely on what guys are saying in the locker room, what Bill is saying at the press conferences to kind of get an idea of who's doing what and who's healthy and for what that's worth, you know, we'll see what happens. But looking forward to this third preseason game against the Eagles. It's a big one, especially with the performances of the first 2 weeks. You know, we as Patriots fans, we want to see, you know, a first or second drive touchdown by the first offense. We haven't seen that yet. We want to see the defense with some three and outs against the other team's first string offense. So let's, you know, the same thing happened last week with the Ravens. So we have to see that defense, you know, really kind of step it up. We saw some good run defense in game one. We did not see that in game two. In both games one and game two, we saw some soft coverage by the Patriots defense. We need to see that shored up a little bit. So we'll see what happens. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Now, Gary, you listening? Can you hear me? Okay. We got some email catfight going on between Todd Porter and Chris Ferreira. So hopefully in the show, I'd like to get these two guys on the show today over the phone, and I need them to square that up. So if you're listening, Todd, Ferreira sucks, Merry Christmas. And you're listening, Chris, at some point maybe we can get both of you on the show via phone, and maybe you can, you know, because I don't like this. I don't like my webmasters fighting with our listeners, and I don't like our listeners fighting with our webmasters. So maybe we can get that short up. Now, on the phone right now is Chris with a T-I-A-N. Chris, how you doing?
Okay, buddy. What's going on?
I'm doing good. I missed the day that you were in with those wings. I heard they were great.
Yeah, I know. They were a big hit. Sorry I missed you. But hopefully I'll be able to catch you for the opener. My girl surprised me and actually got me tickets to the Kansas City game.
Nice, so nice.
Maybe I'll catch up with you then.
Okay, cool. What do you got?
Your thoughts. I heard your theory about Brady, which I think is kind of makes sense now going forward and expanding upon that. Do you even think he plays in the preseason?
Well, you know, he's got to play some.
Yeah.
So I would hope that he's going to be in this next game, you know. And if he is, then I think it adds a little validity to my theory that, you know, they sniffed out that Tampa Bay was going to be blitz heavy in this game. They were really game planning. And why take the risk with a nicked up offensive line?
Yeah, I agree. I just didn't think they would take the shot to get him injured. But, I mean, that being said, too, the third preseason game is the one where most of the starters play, and Philly, you know, is known for their blitz packages, too. So,
yep.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I hope I'd like to see, you know, at least him play a quarter or a half just to get in there and,
me
and
too.
You know, and see him. But I'm with you. I was definitely concerned with the defense.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I know there's not a lot of scheming going on as far as blitzing and stuff like that. I mean, I don't even know if they blitzed, but I mean, like you said, they were lining up and they were running through that front seven pretty good.
Right. In the first drive, which was 17 plays, I believe.
Yeah.
Only one of the plays went for more than 10 yards. That was the end around by Antonio Bryant that went for 16 yards. Every one of those other plays were just nickel and diming down the field.
Yeah, I know they were just, and there was a bunch of third downs, and like Belichick said yesterday, it was just. You know, an inch here, an inch there, and they could have stopped it on third down. But I don't know. The secondary just doesn't look that good to me either.
They're playing soft.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. They're not letting anything over their head.
Yeah.
But you know, if you allow them to take 4 or 5 yards on first and second down when they pass, you know, that just makes third down that much easier. And they've got to be in the vicinity. They've got to make a play on the ball. You know, at least when it's within 10 yards.
Sure.
You know, I could see playing a little softer when it's a little deeper and, you know, kind of just playing it safe to make sure you don't give up the, you know, anything over your head. But when it's underneath 10 yards, you got to be with that guy.
Absolutely.
You know, and I don't see that. I see them giving him too much of a cushion. Eric's here. You can chime in.
How you doing, Christian?
Okay, Eric. What's going on?
Well, like you, I was very disappointed in that defensive effort, especially on that first couple of drives, actually.
Yeah.
But that first drive, you know, you're right. The third downs, they were 4 for 4, Tampa was, on fourth downs. And that's the thing. And I think they ended the game 50% on third down conversions. New England was only 27%. So one out of four, that's not going to get it done. If you're keeping the other team on the field for long drives and you're not doing that, it's tough to win a game.
Yeah.
And Fred was right when he said that the defense, the corners were playing soft, way too soft, especially for
the first
drive of the game.
Then on the third drive, you know, Greasy was still in there. Mm-hmm. Now Tampa Bay changes up their offense. Now they go to the intermediate play, and they were successful on those. Every play was 10, 11, 20 yards. You know, so no matter what they did, they were kind of hurting the Patriots, and, you know, I'm concerned about that.
The only thing I could think is, you know, it was preseason number two. You know that in the preseason, a lot of times, teams don't like to give away what they're going to do, so they play a vanilla defense or even a vanilla offense. And we were even talking about it, you were sitting off in a different part of the press box, but we were all saying on that first drive, there were no sub-packages.
Well, they never
pretty much. They pretty much kept the entire base in for that whole drive.
Yeah.
So it's not like they were trying to scheme or game plan for anything. They were just content to just sort of let it play out.
Almost.
Yeah. That's the only thing I can sort of, to play devil's advocate, is to say maybe they just wanted to, you know, give their starters the game experience of getting in for a quarter or whatever and not really overdo it. But it's still concerning when you see another team that's not really that great a team running the ball down their throat, throwing it at will. You know, it obviously this Friday will be a bigger test, regardless of whether Brady plays or not.
Yeah.
Because the third preseason game is always like that. So, because this happened last year. They lost the first two preseason games. The third one at Carolina, they looked like they really were there to play. They came out. They scored early. Maroney ran the ball well. Brady was throwing well. They had a good performance. And, you know, it didn't really matter what happened in the previous two games. So, you know, if they come out against Philly this Friday looking like they did last week against Tampa, then I'll really be concerned.
But, are you concerned about the running game at all?
No, I was actually, when they did run, especially early, Maroney looked good.
He had a nice run of like 10 yards,
He did. There was one play where he actually gained about 10 or 11, and we thought if he had cut to the right, he would have gotten even more. And we thought, well, you know, we're nitpicking here now. But he actually looked decisive. He wasn't dancing around. The plays where he got cut for a loss, I don't think we could really put that all on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, blockers getting through.
Well, that's part of it, though. I mean, if you're concerned about the running game, it's not necessarily a concern about Maroney. You're concerned about maybe the offensive line in front of him.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
But
at
that point, they were already playing from behind.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, but you don't care if you're behind in a preseason game. You run what you're going to run.
Yeah. No, you're right. But the way they started the game off, I liked what I saw out of Marrone.
Yeah, I did too. That first drive, he looked good. Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully this Friday we can have a lot to talk about Tuesday.
Yeah. Okay, Christian.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right.
All right.
Now, you missed it because you came in late. I have a theory about why the Patriots offense may have looked that bad and why Brady didn't play.
Okay.
And my theory is, and I kind of came to it when I listened to Bill Belichick yesterday on EEI.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned that the Bucs ran a lot of blitzes, and it really kind of looked like they were kind of scheming for the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, practices all over the country were open to the public last week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so people could come and watch our practice just like we could go and watch the Buccaneers practice. So maybe we got the word that, hey, they're going to do a lot of blitz-heavy defense this week. We got a nicked-up offensive line. Brady's not 100%. Let's not even bother sending him. Why risk it? Why, you know, if we know they're going to blitz X percentage of the time,
mm-hmm.
we're not going to really be able to run what we want to run with him back there. So let's just not even have Brady back there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Bill even said, you know, it did seem like they were blitzing a lot and they were kind of scheming for the game, you know, and, you know, when we go into these games, we just run what we're going to run. It's kind of regardless of what they're showing out there. And I think that might have had to do why Brady didn't play.
It's so ridiculous.
And why the Patriots did look so terrible.
Well, you know what? I think you might be onto something because today in his press conference, I don't know if you heard it, but Bill sort of answered that same type of question about game planning for the preseason. And he said, well, you know, I think, you know, can't really speak about other teams, but what his theory, his approach to preseason is basically, let's run the plays we want to play.
Right.
Regardless of whether it works to or for a strength of the other team's defense.
Right.
Or offense or vice versa. And that's different from the regular season when they look at a team's strengths and weaknesses. They try to run plays that are geared towards taking advantage of the weaknesses and avoiding the strengths of the other team. In preseason, he says, we don't really care about that. We care about executing certain plays that we want to have.
Right. And, done. You know, if you're the Buccaneers, and this is not to say what the Buccaneers did was wrong or Bush League or anything like that. They do what they felt needed to be done to get their team ready. And if I'm John Gruden and I'm playing Tom Brady and I think that he might play the one or two series, why not work my blitz out? You know, against
a quarterback
the best
like
quarterback
that.
In the NFL, right. And see if we can rattle him,
mm-hmm.
see if it works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we decide, hey, we're not even going to give him that opportunity and put our quarterback in harm's way.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's a far-fetched theory at all. I think that might be accurate. But I also am a little concerned that there is also this injury to Brady now and how long that's,
don't worry
you know.
About that. John in L.A.'s on the phone. What do you got, John?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What Good. Up, John?
Good. I didn't really see the game, so I'll be interested to hear more of your take on it when I listen to the podcast. But I'm wondering, you guys, did you talk about the fact that the Globe's reporting that Merriweather's injury maybe isn't so bad?
I saw that in today's Globe, yeah, and that if it's true, it's good news because he didn't leave the field under conditions that looked like he was going to be back anytime soon.
Yeah, they said that he'll maybe miss the rest of the preseason, but that he should be good to go for opening day.
Well, if that's true, that's very good news.
Yeah.
Because they can't really afford to lose anybody more in that secondary.
No, that bummed me out when I read about that after the game. That's not good.
Yeah, he limped off pretty badly and didn't, you know, from the looks of the treatment he was getting on the sideline, it didn't appear that that it was going to be anything that would heal soon. But if that's the case, then, yeah, they
got
the
I don't know where the Globe is getting their information. Let's hope it's accurate, but we have no idea as to the extent of his injury. So,
right.
I don't know.
It would be particularly bad with him because Not. I'm not comparing him to Chad Jackson, but when you have a guy who struggled and he was a day one pick, and then he's starting to look a little bit better, and then all of a sudden you lose him for a season, that really can change his career.
No, I agree.
Absolutely.
That would be a huge loss for the team and for him. I hope he's back soon.
Yeah. No, it's always bad timing to lose a guy for the season, but I think you're right on that, John. At this particular point in his development, it would be even worse.
Right,
because he's just starting to maybe get into a groove, and
exactly,
and it's at a position where they're already a little thin to begin with, you know.
Right.
So yeah, no, but let's hope that's accurate what the Globe reported, because that would be good news for the team.
Yeah.
Was the offensive line terrible again the other night?
I think at times they were, but again, here we go. They looked really bad because Patriots weren't playing a blitz protection type of package out there. And so at times it looked like, you know, the Bucks were just running in uncontested, and that was the case. Mm-hmm. They would just have more guys rushing than we had blocking. So it looked really bad at times.
Right, yeah. And like I said, Bill touched on that today in his press conference, saying, you know, hey, if what we want to run runs into the teeth of another team's defense, well,
so
in the preseason,
yeah.
so be it. If this were a regular season game, that would be a different story.
Right.
So.
And how were the young linebackers? I mean, I just looked at the stat sheet. I was like, well, that seemed like, they seem to do another good job. But then I read something about how up the middle the linebackers just generally didn't do so well. How did you guys think they did?
There were a couple plays where Michael Bennett ran right up the middle. It didn't look good. It looked like they were kind of out of position more than missing tackles, although there was one pass play where Fernand O'Brien kind of handed off his guy to Mayo over the middle. They were playing a zone. Mayo got beat, and then in trying to go for the tackle, he went up too high and really just got stiff-armed to the ground. Mm. Didn't look good. Rookie mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, rather than go for the big hit, you know, after he's got the ball, just get him down.
Yeah, I think that was the Antonio Bryant crossing pattern.
Yeah, it was a crossing pattern. Right. Fernand O'Brien kind of handed him off.
Right.
He got into Mayo's zone, made the catch, and Mayo went in high, got stiffed arm to the ground. It ended up being a 33-yard play. So it looked bad. That kind of stood out for Mayo as being a negative. I think overall, though, he had a decent game.
Yeah, I don't think he had quite the eye-popping performance he had in that first game against the Ravens, but it wasn't a terrible performance. That was probably, like you said, the one standout.
Everybody remembers that one.
Yeah, but he did some other good things. So he's still probably on a plateau right now.
And Crable had some plays late in the game. You know, you kind of have to discard those late in the game plays.
Yeah,
but
those are hot.
I'd rather have him make them than not make them.
Sure.
You know, so that's a positive.
Sure.
What about Fernando Bryant? Did he have a better game? Because he was so bad in the first one, or kind of bad in the first one.
I'm still not happy with what I'm seeing.
I'm not seeing him make any plays, and I just think, like I said earlier in the show, I just look at the cushions that they're giving guys in short coverage. I'm not so worried about the long coverage. That is what it is, but you know. In the short coverage, it seems like they're just playing a little bit too soft, and that concerns me because
especially on third
teams
down.
See that, and all of a sudden on first or second down, you pass, and now third down's third and one, and now the strain on the defense is that much more. So they've got to start making plays on the ball on the early downs.
That's so weird. I mean, I don't understand that. I got frustrated with Ellis Hobbs last year, and to me, that's a coaching thing. Just don't play that soft. I mean, it's a matter of mathematics. Be closer. I don't understand
how
that happens.
They really feel like Ellis Hobbs has the speed and quickness to be a good corner in this league. And I remember in the Giants game, not the one that we won't mention, but the last regular season game, you know, Ellis Hobbs was on the sideline, and he was talking about, you know, one of the receivers, and Belichick said to him, look, don't get involved in all this stuff. Just rely on your speed and your quickness. You know, so that's something where Hobbs – he might overthink things. You know, just go out there and play cornerback. Forget about everything else. Just play your man, and you're probably as fast and quick as anybody that you're coming up against. So don't worry about getting beat. Just play cornerback, you know?
Yeah. The only thing I think we said it before, John, was that maybe it being only the second preseason game, they just didn't want to go in and give anything away and just decided to play vanilla.
How is that giving anything away, playing your man tight? I mean, you know, that's not scheme. That's not
anything
out of a playbook.
I'm just trying to play devil's advocate and say, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, because it is still early, and we'll see what happens on Friday.
All right.
Because Friday's the third game, and that's the one where you can tell more about how a team's going
to
be.
Okay, John, thanks for the call. Back is Paul and Andy, and when we get back, we'll talk to them.
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar. a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and a long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins. The Revolution has been on fire all season long. This summer, don't miss out on the hottest ticket in town. Saturday, August 30th, international superstar and worldwide soccer icon David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy take on the New England Revolution at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. It's the Galaxy's only trip to New England this year and your only chance to see David Beckham. This game sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Get your tickets today. Limited tickets are available to the year's most anticipated match. Start at just $27 and are on sale now. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS. Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222. Or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution. When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac-A-Tack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac-A-Tack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna here. Let me tell you about the game with the greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching a game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the Game with the Greats on October 5th at Gillette Stadium. Watch the Patriots take on the 49ers in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me and a bunch of other Patriot alumni. Guys like newly inducted Hall of Famer Andre Tippett and Patriots Hall of Famers Ben Coates, Stanley Morgan, Steve Nelson, and Steve Grogan will be there. Tickets are limited because they're only $40. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on Alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
All right, yeah, you just heard it. John Hanna. Game with the great San Francisco game. That is going to be a good take. Yeah. Ben Coates will be there. Andre Tippett will be there. It's not a huge crowd, so everybody gets autographs. They have, they're going to have, including in your $40, will be a pass to go see the hall at Patriot Place, food, watch the game with everybody. So that's a good day, good way to spend an afternoon. Watching Patriots football with ex-Patriots greats. Get to see the hall included in your ticket price.
Now, what game is that again, Fred?
The San Francisco game.
San Francisco game.
Yeah. They actually did a poll of all the people that went last year, and it was between that game and another game that was a little later. It was a night game, and everyone chose San Francisco because people want it to be during the day.
Lucky.
I would agree with that. You know? I'd rather have an afternoon at the stadium rather than
I kind of want it during a crappy game. You know? I'd want it when I could spend my energy interacting with the Hall of Famers rather than a game I really wanted to focus my attention on.
That's a good point.
And that game stinks.
I didn't think of that. That's a good point.
So, I mean, think about it. You got Hanna, Grogan, Nelson, Tippett, Coates,
Gray,
Stanley Morgan.
Lunsford.
You know, these are guys that are, you know, two of them are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The rest are all Patriots Hall of Famers, plus a bunch of other alumni. So it's no matter where you look, there's going to be ex-Patriots players. It's a great take.
So good.
It's only $40.
Good fan to player ratio.
Yeah, it's $40. Parking is free.
Raleigh Dodge.
So it's a pretty good day.
You get food.
So you can go to Patriots.com. There's a banner for it. You can click on it. You can order your tickets right online. Yeah, there's food.
Big hit last year, right?
It was a big hit. It was sold out last year.
I know.
Yeah.
And that was the Dallas game last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a huge game.
Lucky.
Two undefeated teams. All right, guys, you're back. I was mentioning it. This is kind of like the first day back at work.
Yeah.
You know, like the way it usually is.
I had to wear pants.
You had to wear pants, which everyone thank God for. I've been looking at those chicken legs for 3 weeks now. So tell us what went on with Bill Belichick, and did you guys have locker room access?
We did.
Yeah,
I got to know John Wellborn
a little bit.
Tell
us everything. Fans want to know.
I don't like John Wellborn.
Oh, here we go.
Wow, what a catch by the third baseman.
Here we go. Tell us Belichick in the locker room. What's going on?
Bill Belichick was very informative, I thought. I thought his highlight of the day was when he said, defensively, it's better to keep numbers low. Yards per carry, yards per play, yards per pass, scoreboard.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, Karen Garigian from the Herald asked him where he sort of ranked or how he yards per carry. And he went into a whole long answer about it depends situationally. If your yards per carry are high, but in a passing situation, it's one thing. Whereas if your yards per carry against the ground game are really high in ground game situations, that's not good. I mean, a lot of the stuff he said was sort of obvious or intuitive.
Well, it all comes back to that efficient run thing, you know, that whole thing. Any run that's four or more yards that results in a first down or a score, obviously, is considered an efficient run.
Right.
And his point was you can eliminate the efficient runs that come in, you know, basically, you know, like third and 13, you run a draw, you get 8 yards. Well, that looks good on paper.
Right.
But it's really not, you know, that the defense is fine with that, in other words. It doesn't hurt. I think he put it, that's not really going to hurt you too much, I think is how he phrased it.
But you like, talked about Pollard, right?
Yeah, did you mention that Marcus Pollard
Marcus
was
Pollard
released?
Is no longer a
no, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Hey,
oh, that's breaking news.
Marcus Pollard.
You hear it here first?
Marcus Pollard has been released.
And it
in
was
fairness
those,
and respect to him to find another job.
Yeah.
Okay.
Early in camp.
Still
so
some
can,
teams that might need tight ends.
And it's funny because we were all, Mike, Andy, Eric, and I were all kind of watching the game the other night, and he appeared to kind of age right before our eyes in that game. You know, he had a couple of drops. He looked a little slow. You know, that spring in his step that we saw early in camp looks like it kind of
apparently Bill was right because he talked like from day one, Bill talked about how they were sort of monitoring his reps and trying to ease him and get his work done that he has to do, but also not wear him down. So apparently they knew from the get-go that he only had a little bit left in the tank and not over. And apparently
for him to run out of gas with limited reps is really concerning.
Yeah. And that was just our observation the other night. I'm not, you know, Bill didn't say anything about, you know, he's getting older and
he didn't say like I did. He looks like Kyle Brady.
We thought he.
I doubt he based.
We thought he
on
looked a
game.
Little slow the other night.
Yeah.
All four of us commented on it during the game and
wasn't catching the ball.
Yeah, and he was he dropped a couple,
which is the major problem.
Yeah.
Locker room was kind of empty today, but Matt Cassel spoke at the end, and it was a pretty interesting exchange. Not an exchange so much, but Mike Felger asked him about the criticism
Felger
on the
was
NFL
here?
Network.
Why am I surprised you used the word exchange and Mike Felger's?
No, I mean that back and forth. It was a civil conversation. My point is, he asked him about what happened on the NFL Network the other night. I guess they were pretty hard on Cassel in the studio for his performance Sunday. And Cassel, and I'm paraphrasing, basically said, I don't really pay attention to that stuff, but I find it interesting when you hear that because these guys are ex-players and they should know what it's like to go through that struggle. And it just kind of speaks to the larger point. I think we've all talked about it. I don't think he was that bad Sunday night. I don't really know where all this piling
he
on
was
is
coming
from.
He was better Sunday night than he was last week.
He was
no doubt.
He was infinitely better.
O'Connell was worse.
He absolutely was worse. And they had three drop balls. I counted as three. I know the screen to Maroney, some people debate that Maroney might not have been able to catch that. But
should've
I still think
it.
He should have had it. And I think other than the first throw of the game, he was fine after that. I really don't know where it's all
the
coming
ball?
From.
Didn't
Heath Evans,
he
Evans drop one?
And Pollard
had a bad
drop. So there's three drops right there.
And fumbled.
Six out of ten.
Falk fumbled to kill a drive.
He had one horrendous throw. Which was the interception that was overturned.
At worst, he should have been 8 out of 10.
Right. And we all talked about this, too, the other night. And it's weird because, you know, I just don't know what people are looking for out of the backup quarterback. I mean, we all kind of recognize the fact that Brady is so good that there's such a big drop. And we all would be highly concerned if someone had to play. But I don't know what anybody's looking for.
You know, that's a good point. I was listening to EEI yesterday afternoon. Somebody brought up A.J. Feely's name. And D'Ossi and Smirlis jumped all over him. Well, he's no good. How good was he with the Dolphins? Well, the Dolphins were asking him to be a starter.
Yeah,
right.
Okay, with no talent around.
Right.
The Patriots wouldn't be asking a guy like that to be a starter.
Well, I was on a show last night where they brought up, Felger brought up Chris Sims, mm-hmm. who's probably going to get let go in Tampa. Now, you saw something Sunday night from Chris Sims that led you to believe that he's a marked improvement over Gutierrez in Castle?
No, it's just that he's a name.
He has some experience, which Castle will never have, and that's a huge thing. And I suppose the novelty of the fact that Bill probably knows as much about him as anybody through his relationship with Phil. But are we really looking at what Chris Sims did Sunday night, running around, getting sacked by third stringers, and holding onto the ball forever, as being that's markedly better than what you can get out of Castle?
Well, he was 7-7. Oh, Sims. I'm thinking Greasy. You're right.
Oh, no,
right.
Greasy. Yeah. Greasy.
Sims only attempted about four passes. Right.
And Greasy's an experienced guy. Greasy was a starter for a number of years. That
Sims
was a
starter 1 year and went
for
to the
one
playoffs,
year, and he sucked. Because I can remember.
I agree.
I might hold this one thing against him, but I remember sitting at Giants Stadium watching him in a game, and I don't know who they were playing, but he sucked. He reminded me of Ken Dorsey. He couldn't throw the football forward. He was throwing it. He looked like Kevin O'Connell out there, like little dump offs. He's hitting guys in the shins. He's one hopping balls. I don't think he's very good. I
would agree with.
I
don't think Greasy's
Paul, if
very
you
good
took
either. But
Kyle Orton, Chris Sims and Matt Castle and had a three-way battle for quarterback here in camp. Forget about the Brady era. Pretend we're like 5 years down the road and they're just looking. They're a Joe average team looking for a quarterback. I don't think there would be that much difference between Castle, Kyle Orton, and Chris Sims.
And Kyle Orton's going to be the starter.
I'll tell you
that's
this.
My point.
Right. I'll tell
if
you
you're
this.
A crappy team, Matt Castle might look pretty good out here.
Andy, if you want to take that, if that's in practice, if you're going to put those three guys at practice, I'll guarantee you Castle's going to look the best. Now
Kyle Orton can't throw 5 yards.
The problem with Castle is he hasn't necessarily been able to put, and this goes back to USC, he hasn't been able to put his practice performances onto the playing field. And some of that has drawn some to wonder if he's got, you know, maybe the necessary heart and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. But from a pure physical skill point, he's got it all over, I think, a guy like Kyle Orton by a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd also like to say I still don't really think he's very good and would have cut him last year, but it's become a little ridiculous the way he's become the scapegoat.
I'm looking at Nesson, New England Sports Network, for those who aren't in the area. They're showing Patriots highlights with the tag underneath, time to panic. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Week two of the preseason, time to panic. Well, that's like saying the Red Sox lost the first two regular season games.
Here's
the whole season's over.
Here's the time when we all have to look like a bunch of homers.
To be fair, if the question they asked
balance.
During that little tagline was, is Tom Brady going to be hurt when the season starts?
Right. Well,
then it is time to panic.
About
that's
positions
a different question,
or sides of the ball. That's one thing.
Well, we don't know what the question was. We didn't hear it. All
they could have been asking about the first team defense, which wasn't very good Sunday. So you could.
Eric, should I tell these guys my theory?
But even then, I wouldn't panic about it.
No, no. The only thing I would panic about is if I found out Tom Brady wasn't playing.
Right.
Brady's the only thing that has me even mildly concerned right now.
Because not only would I panic, but I'd start planning a
January
vacation.
I have a theory
vacation.
About that.
You have a theory about Brady?
Yeah, and why he didn't make the trip.
Is this a good one, Eric?
It's not too far-fetched. Based on what we heard today from Bill.
Guessing it
well,
is.
Well, I based it on what I heard yesterday from Bill. And basically what he's saying and what we saw, the Bucs ran a lot of blitzes. And it really seemed like the Bucs kind of schemed for this game. They were going to do certain things on defense that – if you were playing a Brady team, you might do. And I think the Patriots had wind of that. Hey, practices were open last week for everybody. And they said, you know what? We got a nicked up offensive line. Why even, and he's not 100%, why even bother sending him? We're not going to put him at risk like that, knowing that they're going to be blitzing like they do. We're just not going to do it.
That was certainly the popular theory that everybody, I mean, that's what they were talking about in the pregame show when I was on with BCN.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was the popular theory. I don't really buy it because Brady was so adamant that he was going to play. That's why I don't really buy it.
So what if the Eagles blitz? He doesn't play at all?
Well, he was adamant on what, Wednesday?
Yeah, maybe, Wednesday night.
Maybe
so,
Thursday they get wind of it and say, you know what? Let's.
I just think it's a physical thing.
I do too.
Yeah, well,
I think if he was 100%, he would have played.
I think that even if he's only 80%, why bother? If we know they're going to blitz, we're not going to be able to run what we're going to run effectively anyway.
Yeah, but that's still a physical thing. If he's 80%, there's a 20% injury.
Right. No, but I think
I'm not saying he broke his leg between Wednesday and Friday.
If he was 80%, I wouldn't have played him if we were going to play a drop nine in coverage every play defense. I don't want him playing.
Okay, what if he's 80% next week?
I don't want him playing in the preseason if
he doesn't need to play. I don't think he needs to play at all.
You don't think the other players need to have him play with them just to kind of get into that
Randy
group?
Moss and Wes Welker?
No, I don't.
Yeah, they got enough of it in practice.
It might have been that might have been more valid last year, Fred.
Yeah.
Because all the new guys had come here. And he was asked that today. Belichick was asked that today. Does it hurt the other offensive players? And, you know, I think Bill, I happen to agree with his answer. He just said, I think the other players need to worry about their own jobs and getting themselves ready and not worrying about who the quarterback is.
Plus,
you're still out there running your offense and doing all the things you need to do. I don't want Brady playing if he's not. I mean, 100% is hyperbole because
he hasn't been 100% in 8 years, Paul. Right, right shoulder.
But if he's got a significant injury to anything, I don't want him playing in preseason games. I have no problem with Bill's decision to sit him, and I think he should do so going forward until the regular season.
It was like Moss last year, had the hammy, maybe could have come back during the third or fourth preseason game, but they said, why bother? He comes back, and he's fine.
And by the way, saying the same thing, two guys who are going to Canton who are Hall of Fame talent.
Right. Well, that's why
we're not talking about Jabbar Yaffe missing out on his reps.
From the media, or some in the media anyway. Oh, he's dogging it, or let's panic. He's not going to be part of the...
One.
Yeah, the guy who was having an exchange with Matt Castle.
But others picked up on that.
That was Felger.
Others, he started it, but others picked up on it.
He started it, finished it.
You know, others wanted to go with that because that was the Hutt story.
Yeah.
You
but know? I would say
and it wasn't a story.
You know, if this was 2002, then I would feel a little bit differently. I want Brady to get out there and have a preseason. But at this stage, he's proven everything he needs to prove to everybody. You know, if he's not right, why risk it? You know, but I mean, the blitzing thing, I don't know how they would have gotten wind of that, but I don't know.
So we're just sticking
with the whole... I thought the pass protection was excellent the other night.
We're sticking with the whole theory that the other teams are just game planning for the Patriots in the preseason. That seems
I
think Bill completely shot that down.
No, I know, but it seems to be part of this whole theory
Well, if I'm John Gruden and I want to work on my blitz and the Patriots are next up in preseason, what better team to work on that if I think Brady's going to play a series or two? See if I can rattle him. See if it works. You know?
Sure.
Makes
sense.
He's hurt. What?
I think he's hurt.
I think he's not 100%.
I'm
but even he said if it was a regular season game, he would have been out there.
Because he's Tom Brady.
Right.
Guys play with broken arms, broken legs, everything.
Just like the last regular season game that he wasn't 100% for. He was out there.
Right.
But he was affected by it. The last game, not regular season.
Yeah,
the game that shall not be named.
Yeah.
Did you like that, Fred?
Yeah. We don't mention the name of that game. So,
place last February.
Who else was in the locker room? Who else was available?
John Wellborn.
That's it.
I use the word available.
It was very much a regular season look in the locker room, with the exception of the big blue lockers in the middle.
Right.
There was very few.
Jabbar Gaffney had a
big crowd around him. Matt Castle, as Mike alluded to already.
I think Kevin
Ellis Hobbs turned down the media.
Wow.
And,
a tough day there.
And Heath Evans turned down the media.
Wow.
Just pack it in media and go home.
You mentioned something that some people may not be familiar with, the big blue lockers in the middle. Explain what those
are. There's 80 players on the roster, obviously, Fred, so they need some spillover. Yeah.
Because Pollard was asked to leave.
So they put up temporary lockers.
They don't have enough of the permanent lockers to house everybody during training camp, so there's blue temporary lockers that are in the middle that the rookies and rookie free agents, really, for the most part, occupy.
Freddie, got a roster spot. I want to fill it.
Okay.
You know my little thing I asked you about the other day. We've talked about the wide receivers. There's three guys to start, right?
Right.
And
they're locks.
Beyond that, a lot of question marks. Chad Jackson, if you think he might make it, if he makes it, it's not because of anything he's done in camp, because he hasn't had a good camp.
Because there's nobody else.
Then it's the Matthew Slater, Sam Akins, Kelly Washington's. Why is there not a spot on this team for Troy Brown?
Well, who knows? Maybe now there will be.
That's what I said. Yeah. I said to Paul in the locker room,
I hope
this roster spot with Troy Brown. Make number 80, number 80. That's my campaign.
Wow. That's not bad.
I honestly think
he has a knack for that nonsense.
But I honestly think he's better than Kelly Washington, Sam Akin. Well, Sam Akin had a good camp.
But he's not going to do anything on special teams anymore. What's he going to do on special teams?
I think he can still return punts.
Nah, I disagree.
I think he can still return punts because Bill puts first and foremost and
ball security.
Let's leave out the one that he bounced off his face in the one game.
Okay.
To support your argument, which is
if he's honestly playing and practicing, you think Troy Brown bounces a punt off his face? Thank you.
No, I don't.
Every time that play ends, Troy Brown has the ball.
I'll be fair and like you when you get into these situations.
I'm always fair.
You refuse to be real about it. Fair and balanced,
like Eric's News Channel.
Yeah. And lo and behold, here comes Fred.
Okay, well.
I want number 80 to be number 80.
At this point.
You don't want to, you know, jerk the
Also, given
off.
His work at defensive backfield, he makes a little bit of sense.
Okay, I just jump ship.
I don't know if you want that, Fred.
Yeah, okay.
I just want him as my fifth or sixth wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't want him. I don't want him to.
I think you line him up in a four wide set, you know, with Welker and he on the inside, Gaffney and Moss on the outside. I think he still can catch third.
I wonder
passes.
What he's doing in terms of working out these days. If he's even.
Oh, come on, the guy is built like.
Rambo.
But I wonder if he's even got his. I wonder if he's, you know, still working the phone lines trying to get on a team.
No. I doubt he cares.
I don't think
point.
Actively, but I think if this team called and said, "Are you in shape?" I think he'd say, "Sure, I'll be there in 5 minutes."
They just won't do it because he's not capable of helping out anymore.
I disagree totally.
I don't want to see.
I actually think he could be better than Jabari Gaffney. I think there's a chance you sign him and play him. He's the third best.
I don't want to see out of control. I don't want to see him have to do the defensive stuff that Fred.
I'm on offense and punt returns.
But with all the injuries, it wouldn't be the worst move to have a guy that could fill in as the fourth or fifth receiver be able to be the eighth or ninth defensive back if he had to be. Wow.
See, I don't want him as a gimmick, though. Yeah. I want him as 28 gimmick, receptions, though. 20 of them for first downs and third down situations, and six punt
That's
returns
what Welker's
that you
here for.
In the year that he's here to catch 120 passes.
The year that he played
defensive back, 120 passes, you're done.
In the year he played defensive back, he had more interceptions than Fernando Bryant.
In his career, probably.
Right.
Yeah, I know. But still, he played Drew.
Oh, that's true.
You're saying Welker's still not a slot receiver, is what you're saying.
He is a slot receiver.
All right, but that's Troy Brown's.
Oh, I didn't know we only needed three receivers and we're good. All right, guys, call the season. We're only carrying three this year. Those guys won't get hurt.
He's not better than Gaffney at this point in his career. That's preposterous.
First of all, I graciously included Gaffney in the top three because I think it's a terrible position for him. I think he's a very good guy off the bench, and the more you see of him, the worse he is.
That's fine, but bringing Troy Brown, he's still number
Doug
three.
Doug Mirabelli a couple years ago hitting home runs when he catches Wakefield. Oh, let's DH him because he's great. Let's get some more at-bats. Yeah, where's Doug Mirabelli now? Batting 170 in the Pacific Coast League.
Is there any glimmer of hope? Is there any glimmer of hope for Chad Jackson based on the couple catches he made at the end of the game?
No.
He's still going to make the team.
There was a glimmer of hope. But,
so, I'm not sold. I think he's going to get cut.
I think he makes the team. But
Troy Brown, 80 is 80.
Just
calm down a little bit. Bring it down. Bring it down a notch.
Somebody get him lunch.
I got to rant one or two directions. It's positive Troy Brown or negative John Welborn. So we'll stick to the positive.
John
Troy
Welborn,
Brown,
by the way,
is a jerk.
He set a new Patriots record. By the way, Bill really hit the jackpot getting a free agent veteran this time. He set a record today for most media requests turned down.
All of them from Andy.
No. Oh, you should. They were going at him one by one. After that, everybody was walking over. Hey, you got a minute? And then you see the guy walking away with his head down.
He quote doesn't really comment on anything.
If that's not exactly what Bill Belichick is looking for. Yeah,
absolutely, but that's fair. If a guy says out front,
I don't really have any.
I don't talk about things.
That's fine.
I
won't
bother him the rest of the year.
Of course, he was a rhetoric major in college and wants to go into politics and pre-law. So it's going to be tough when you have your lips sealed.
Yeah, but then you get then it's a little different. Then it's your job. But here he feels this is not his job.
See, I kind of think it's part of his job.
Andy was going to do a getting to know. For that, he goes,
I got to know him, all right.
He goes, we're going to do these kind of lighthearted, questionnaires, kind of introduce the new players to the fans. And he goes, no interest.
You know what you should do?
And just so you know,
the fact that he said it to Andy,
just so you know, Fred,
he's on my list. I like him.
Google was spot on yet again, because when I Googled John Welborn, the very first thing that popped up was well-known jerk John Welborn.
You know what you should do for the paper? You should put a template of the questions with his face and then a big red stamp letters, put jerk.
No interest.
Boom.
Terrible. Wow, I like the fact that he said it to you.
Yeah.
That's nice.
He's a jerk.
Okay, good. All right. Webradio@patriots.com.
Ben Jarvis Manellis is not, though. Very nice man. And is Steven Sane.
Does he make the team?
Did he have anything to say interesting about his name?
Who?
Ben Jarvis Manellis.
No.
Really?
People call him Ben. Ben Jarvis. Benny.
No,
it's just his mother's name.
What's the origin
of the
name?
She didn't like Ben and Jarvis. She just liked Ben Jarvis.
Everyone calls him Ben Jarvis Ellis. In the opposing teams, they think his last name is Ellis.
Why, in Tampa, they were calling him Ben Jarvis Green.
Oh, really?
So nobody sees the hyphen, huh?
Forgetting the Ellis.
Doesn't the hyphen mean you have to say it all?
It's not one or the other.
His first name was Ben Jarvis Green.
They're giving a nickname for his surname.
But he was very nice, as was Steven Sane. I talked to him a little bit about his getting cut on the practice field.
Andy's trying to butter up the suits now. Call one guy a jerk, compliment two others.
No, okay. I'm just showing my objectivity. If you're a nice man, I'll call you a nice man. If you're a jerk, I'll call you a jerk.
He talked about the Rams situation?
Yeah. He smiled. He kind of laughed about it. I said, did you kind of think it was a joke at first? I didn't know. Because you don't want to pretend it's a joke when it's real, because then it just gets even more awkward by the minute.
Okay, guys, I'm cut. Sure.
But he said, yeah, they brought a golf cart out. I got on. They took me back to the locker room. I got my stuff there. They took me back to the housing. I got my stuff there.
Wow.
Wow.
So, but big on liberty.
He
thinks liberty is an up-and-coming program. They've really, really put a lot of focus on athletics, and they're really building. He thinks they're an up-and-comer. And he really likes the guy that's coaching there that came from Virginia.
Big Jane Skinner fan. Not going to lie.
Don't know who she is.
Okay.
She's the wife of the NFL commissioner.
Oh, she's another, the reason Fox
another
had
Fox
the tape.
News watcher, Mike mm-hmm. Parenti.
Absolutely.
Watch a lot of Fox News.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
But he's watching Fox XX because he's watching for Is this first lady, if she wins McCain, is she going to be the hottest first lady ever?
Barbara Bush, anybody?
I think Jackie might have.
Oh, yeah. Jackie O.
Yeah. I don't know.
She's got a nice rack. Not Jackie O.
Don't I have a nice rack?
All right. WebRadioPatriots.com. Now, I mentioned that Chris Ferreira and Todd Porter are having a spat with each other. Todd has emailed in. He says he has no interest in talking to Chris.
Todd Wellborn. I'm going
to
call him.
I think you guys need to hash this out. So if Todd, you want to call in, we can get Chris on the line. You guys can work things out. I don't like to see, discord in PFW and Progress Nation. This is not good.
I'm off Vernon Golston.
Why? What happened?
Because they're playing the Jets game in the background here, and they had, getting to know or whatever, our little thing, little questions. Favorite team growing up, Detroit Pistons. Okay.
He's from there. Right?
Favorite player, Michael Jordan?
That's, 90% of athletes. But they all love Jordan, though.
That's stupid.
My friend
if you're
and I
really
Knicks
a Pistons fan, how can you be a
Jordan
Jordan
posts
Jordan fan?
All over his wall. I agree. Stupid.
Oh, I love the Red Sox, argument, but A-Rod's my favorite player.
Goes back to my one
Same
team,
thing.
One city, all four sports. That's it.
See, I would have had no problem.
You don't double dip.
I would have had no problem if he didn't say Detroit. It was almost any other team.
Right. No, that's my
point. I
wouldn't
have had a problem.
He's a Detroit Pistons. Big fan.
But if you like a specific team, you can't find one player from that team.
But I'm just saying, if he was growing up,
by the way, Pistons had some pretty good players, didn't they?
Jumars, Isaiah Thomas, anybody?
What's he, about 23 years old? If he grew up in Boston,
all right, Rip Hamilton.
The Celtics stunk that whole time. The Celtics could have been his favorite team, and if he had said Michael Jordan, it wouldn't bother me at all.
But you're talking about a competitor of your favorite team. That's stupid.
The guy who's kicked your team's ass for 5-10 years.
Patriots fans are right.
That's like a Knicks fan on my favorite player is Reggie Miller. Makes no sense.
All right. Should we get to some emails?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. WebRadio@patriots.com. Keith in Central Florida says he feels ripped off. Says I took my family to the game Sunday in Tampa, understanding that it's only preseason. I didn't expect to see the Pats go all out. However, I at least expected to be somewhat entertained and to see some flashes of the Pats' greatness. I can't begin to tell you how disappointed my family and myself were at the lack of effort the Pats played with as a whole. Seeing the game from up close, it was obvious the Pats had no swagger at all. The Bucks were clearly faster, much more physical, and definitely more determined overall, which showed big time. Of all the training camp reports from you guys at PFW and other news outlets saying this camp has been physical, you wouldn't know it by the way they got pushed around. I feel like we were ripped off after spending over $500 of hard-earned money for tickets, gas, parking, and to see a performance like that. The Land O'Lakes Pee Wee Gators at halftime were more entertaining than an NFL
team. They were fun.
That is supposed to be the best team in football. At least they had heart and excitement, as the Patriots on Sunday night in Tampa sure as hell didn't. What's wrong with this picture?
You spent $500
yeah,
bucks.
Exactly.
You should have honestly, you should have emailed
better.
Us first.
The problem,
we should tell you, you're not going to see the Patriots.
The problem is the preseason. And you wrote about it in your edit letter this week for the upcoming issue, Fred. That's the problem here.
Yeah.
And people are, that's not an uncommon story. People are shelling out a lot of money
for
these games, and they're not getting their product.
The teams and the stadiums, supposedly can't afford to lower and reduce the ticket price. It's the same amount of money to put on these shows. So they can't reduce the parking. They can't reduce the ticket price because they got to pay the same amount of money to the same amount of people. So what do you do? And so now they're talking about maybe reducing the preseason and increasing the regular season. We'll see what happens there. But
increasing
P.S., says Keith, on very few encouraging notes on Sunday but that I saw, one is that Matthew Slater is freaking fast. Bucks fans sitting around us were even in awe. So.
He's got a burst.
He is that kind of fast. When
I included
you see him
among my good from the game.
When you see him return a kick, it's eye opening how fast he is. There's no question. He almost broke two
tacklers came together to get him as he was trying to split. He was close.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily see the lack of effort though. I mean,
no, they just got pushed around. The other team was better.
Listen. I know that Bill goes off on the hyperbole when he's talking about the other team, but all week he talked about how fast Tampa Bay was. So to see them being faster than the Patriots, that's not necessarily, to me, all that surprising the way Bill talked about it all week.
Robin is in Alaska, and she says she heard a read about a link about the Patriots putting up a 16-0 banner next to the Super Bowl banners. Personally, I really dislike the idea. I think that it is like putting up a banner saying, hey, look, we came in second. Wasn't that great? I think the banner cheapens the Super Bowl championship banners. We didn't finish 16-0 was great. The ride to 16-0 and getting it was vindicated because of the brutal media coverage and opposing fan torments that the Patriots fans, staff, and players, etc., had to go through last season. 16-0 was a wonderful thing to witness, but we didn't finish, and it's all about championships. What do you guys think?
No, it doesn't make any difference. A 16-0 season is not akin to just finishing in second place, because then every second place team goes undefeated and sets a historic record.
Right.
So it should be honored.
I think 16-0 was unique. The banner that they've designed, it's a different color.
Yeah.
It's narrower than the Super Bowl, so it doesn't look like the Super Bowl.
It should be smaller.
And it's not an AFC championship banner.
See, I have no problem with putting banner, AFC championships up, to be honest with
but
you.
But they haven't done that before.
Division championships, okay, now I'm separating myself. Yeah. But if you go to the Super Bowl, you win the conference, you go to the Super Bowl.
Well, look at
that's an accomplishment.
The Colts put up every time they win a game, they put a banner. but this banner is simply about finishing a regular season.
I think to ignore that, I think it's
worth putting up, and I think they're making the right decision to put it up.
Of course,
it's not like they're going to shoot fireworks and unveil it like this. It's just going to be there. They're not even going to unveil or have a special thing. It's just going to be there when the stadium opens on September 7th.
I hear what the emailer is saying, though, because anytime you look at it, you're going to think of what happened after that. You're not going to think of, oh, how great they had a regular season that was undefeated. They're going to think about, boy, that's the season that should have been 19.
But that was a special season. It was a special regular season. And we, as fans and reporters, don't have to look at it like Bill Belichick says, we didn't finish. It all went for naught. The regular season was special.
We blew it.
Can you imagine if the Arizona Cardinals finished 16-0 and lost in the Super Bowl? They'd be having the parade would still be going on in Arizona.
This isn't the Arizona Cardinals.
I understand that, but the feat of going 16-0 in a regular season is worth
it's special. Like, it's do we worth, erase the you, 50 you touchdown just, passes? Do we erase the funny the 23?
Because they lost the Super Bowl.
It happened.
Let's forget it. It happened. It was an amazing accomplishment. And, you know, it is hard. You know, it's incredibly hard to do what they did.
The way I look at it is, do you get a ring for it?
No.
Yes, you did. You did.
No, they got a ring for the AFC Championship.
Exactly. So that, to me, that's special. You don't get a ring for winning, 11 games and get knocked out in the first round. You don't get a ring for just winning a division. You get a ring for being conference champions.
Right.
To me, that's worth commemorating.
But that's not what they're commemorating.
I understand that, okay. But I'm saying that I wouldn't even have a problem with it, Fred, if it was just conference champs.
I understand.
If they had a conference championship from 85, what's wrong with that? What do you remember from that year? I remember the three road playoff wins, not the getting blown out in the Super Bowl.
No, you remember that, but there's not a banner for it.
No,
that's because the owners then couldn't afford to buy a freaking banner. If the owner,
bingo.
If the Crafts had been owners then, I bet you there would have been a banner.
Yeah. Although they do have a conference championship that they haven't recognized. But
I just don't understand why you're not allowed. Every season, Bill Belichick tells us you start with your goals. Win the division. Get a number one or two seed. Win in the play. Like, win the division is part of your goal. Win the conference is part of your goal.
Right.
When you achieve your goals.
But you don't put a banner up for achieving your goal.
I think you should.
I personally don't think you should.
Banners that tell you every year the team won the division.
When the Celtics,
because I think when you go to a game, it adds to. Oh yeah, I remember and they won that year. It's part.
Just one banner that lists every year.
You know, 97.
They get like the Braves who have a pennant for.
And maybe they could do that. Maybe they could put an AFC champion banner up and have 85, 96.
Yeah.
And all the different years listed, and then have the special one for the 16-0 that they have.
Hockamock champions.
Or even if it's on the ring and it's somewhere where you can learn history while you're at the game.
What did the Celtics do in the 80s when they had?
Once the Celtics won so many NBA championships, they took down the Eastern Conference ones.
In the 70s, they used to have the Eastern Conference ones.
The Bruins are ridiculous. The Bruins had every Adams Division championship.
To me, it's special because I grew up watching the Celtics. I remember the big thing was the banners in the Garden, and those banners at the time were the 15 others before they won the 16th one, the 15 other, 14 other, 13 other banners that were hanging there.
Right.
And that was what was special. It was a banner means you won a championship. Not that you won a division, not that you won a conference, that you won a championship. And the fact that there were so many of them
made it that much more. When you go 16-0, 18-1 overall, I think it's a banner year. And I think it deserves a banner.
I agree.
Literally.
I disagree with you.
I think part of the banners adds to the mystique of a particular venue.
Maybe we should do a point counterpoint.
For example, I know no one cares about this, but Mount St. Charles Hockey, Rhode Island, they won 26 consecutive state championships.
There's
a banner,
Michael,
for everything. Well, no, but the whole wall is covered in banners. And when you're standing there as a player and you're looking up during the national anthem, there's like 50
Holy
banners.
Crap.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, crap, you know?
Right, and those were for celebrating championships.
It is
they
fun.
Won.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But they
not
won 26. I mean, that's just like the Celtics have the opportunity.
Right.
They won 17.
But I think
most teams don't have that.
What makes a banner special is that it commemorates a championship, no matter how many of them there are.
I disagree.
No matter how many of them there are.
To
that's
me, those banners commemorate success. And,
right.
And those are successful.
You have goals to win a division, to win a conference, to win a Super Bowl.
I disagree and agree with Eric. I think that... You know, if
playing the role of Indy.
No, if you have championships, if you have championships,
that was uncalled
great.
For.
But if you don't, okay, you know, you do want to commemorate some successes, and so maybe some teams that don't have what the Celtics did or the Yankees did, they make a decision. But then once you make that decision, you're kind of going down a road.
Well, and that's part of the trappings here because this place opened. They celebrated a title the second it opened.
Right.
Right.
That they'd won in the old stadium.
Right. And they
had,
then
that
they had
one two more titles
right.
within 3 years.
Right.
And so they, all of a sudden it's like, holy crap, all they do is put up banners for, well, no,
for
that's all they had the chance to do because of the circumstantial evidence of the times.
Right. No, well, but they could have said, they could have gone, in retrospect, they could have gone back and said, well, let's put up a banner for winning the 85 AFC Championship game. Let's go back and do that for 96 and that
but
championship
how likely
game.
Is that?
You know, I don't know what to do, but in the Hall of Patriot Place, which is opening in September.
Holy crap. You said it 17 times in an hour.
There is a section devoted to the championships, not the Super Bowl, but the AFC Championships.
Now, see, that's the perfect spot to put any sort of commemoration of 16-0 in the hall. Not in the stadium with a banner tank.
See, I think
you're diluding.
Really diminishing.
How many
the
people have gone 16-0?
This is a real special.
Let's start. Let's run down the list of teams. Oh wait, it's the 2007 Patriots. That's it. 16-0 regular season. They've been playing since what, 78?
We have a Hall of Fame now. Let's commemorate it in there. Let's not
but
do it in the stadium.
You're lumping it in with like.
Why is it okay to put it in the hall?
Well, because that's what a hall is for.
Well,
if you're
going to
put banners up in a stadium, they should be championship.
Some would argue that the hall is just for supreme greatness,
right.
And you don't shouldn't even put it in there.
Why is it, I mean, I don't understand why it's okay to put it up one place and not okay
because
to
you
put
have
it up
a precedent set of only hanging banners in the stadium that are Super Bowl championships.
But
you only
just told
that's
you
all
exactly
you had the
why.
Chance. That's
they
how it played out.
No, you didn't. You could have gone back and put the AFC titles that they lost.
You don't do that.
Look,
20 years
I
later, you're going to put a banner
I
up.
I really think, Eric, you have to take 16-0 in and of itself.
Better than the coin toss. Okay, let's stay on this one.
Forget about what happened afterwards. 16-0 is an amazing accomplishment,
and I agree with you. And I say that's a perfect time to put it in the Hall of Fame, not to put it out in the stadium where you've already set
the precedent.
No
one's going to see it in
the Hall of
Fame.
With John Rook.
This is really the lone exception you could make an argument for because there's really nothing else beyond 16-0 other than a Super Bowl that you could really commemorate. What else could you do? You're not going to put up a banner for somebody setting an individual record.
Right.
This is a team thing, and I think this is the one exception you could really make where the banner goes up.
I agree. Dave is in Manhattan. Dave, how are you?
How's it going, guys?
Hey.
Good.
I've had a quick... some quick comment to the question about the Tampa Bay game. First of all, Mara does look like the real deal. And is it me or does he look twice the size as he did in the Tennessee like highlights that I saw?
Yeah, he's a big dude. When
and
you see him up close,
a lot bigger than I expect him to be.
And
really,
I think he's pretty big. But
he's big from like his forehead's big, his neck is big. He's a big dude.
Yeah, I think Dave's right though. He looked a lot smaller in all his Tennessee highlights,
dude.
I thought he was a pretty good sized guy
that's
coming out. I also didn't think he was all that impressive the other night.
And the 7.
What did you guys think of him the other night?
You know, that's what I didn't see him make. He made a couple good open field tackles. He got stiff-armed in that one play open field. But,
he was not as good the other night as he was the first game. He struggled to get off blocks
a couple
times early when Tampa was jamming it down their throats. He was part of that. And then, that stiff arm from, and it was Antonio Bryant, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was just, that can't happen.
Looked more like a rookie Sunday night. Than
I mean,
the
he looked
game.
Like, a, for as you just talked about how big he is, for Antonio Bryant, who is not Terrell Owens, he's not a massive wide receiver, to throw him down like a rag doll.
Well,
that was the low line.
He was kind of like going the other direction as Bryant was going past him, and it was kind of like an off balance play. But
no, I know, but I'm saying I have high hopes for him. I think he's going to be
great.
We
love him,
and I think part of his game is going to be athleticism, making plays out there, out on the wing on wide receivers. And if Antonio Bryant is bee slapping him like that, that maybe I need to haul that back in a couple notches.
Well, this is second preseason
game. I'm grinding down the bust. I'll use it for somebody else.
We're all very high on him. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And but on the other hand, Ellis Hobbs, man, he's been getting schooled by Achilles at least the first half of the game that I was watching. And what the hell is he doing playing on? I think it was like a first or second drive when they got down to like the goal line. I think it was like second and goal from like the 7-yard line. They threw a quick in to Hilliard, and Howes was playing him from 2 yards deep in the end zone. Like what,
flashbacks.
Is that a game plan? That just doesn't seem right to me. That seems like a problem with him, not the whole scheme. And I understand it's a very vanilla scheme, but at the same time, why is he playing 2 yards deep in the end zone when you're at the 7-yard line?
Flashbacks.
Does that make sense?
Well, Paul, you take that one.
I mean, it's not anything to do with any kind of game plan. That's for sure. But, you know, look, I don't think that he is the best cover guy that the Patriots have. I mean, I really don't. I mean, I know that he's kind of considered the number one guy because...
Default.
But, yeah, based on what they have returning. Now, in his defense, it was also his first game. You know, he's missed most of camp here. Didn't play in the first preseason game. That was his first, reacclimation to the game speed and stuff like that, and I thought he struggled. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I thought he struggled. I thought the coverage was too loose.
And that comes on the heels of general, I think. But that comes on the heels of a season when people thought the coverage was too loose.
Yeah, well, I don't want to. Like I said, I don't want to make all excuses for him, but it was his first game back.
And in general, I think the coverage has been loose. At least in that game, it was.
I guess my main question is: Can you see like secondary this year being like our wide receivers of 2 years ago, where we say, you know, something? The one thing that's kept us from being good.
The word great, absolutely. Yes. I think that's a good, actually, comparison. Because
and I think it'll play out the same way because I think Bill's a good coach and Don Capers is a good coach.
Yeah,
so by November, you'll say, they're playing okay back there, much like Richey Caldwell and Jabari Gaffney were playing okay, but all of a sudden, when you reach championship-level football, it can cost you.
Yeah, and I would say that overall, in 06, they didn't fall short specifically because of those receivers in any game.
Right.
But I do think they may have lost a game or two that they wouldn't have if they had a better core of receivers. The Denver game really sticks out for me that year. And I think we might be looking at it that way again this year if things don't turn around. And I'm also really concerned about the injuries that are piling up back there already with Will Hyde and Webster
absolutely.
And now Brandon Merriweather.
That's huge. Because it's not just
I think Merriweather's a really important part.
Well, the Globe today, Boston Globe reported that a source told them that Merriweather should be okay to start the season and that his injury won't be anything to worry about. That's what they quoted a source or referenced a source.
He didn't look good after the game.
But a league source?
According to a league source.
How would a league source know that?
Well, anyone who I now read league source that anyone who works in the National Football League.
So it could be the
player,
Patriots,
coach, media, team, anything.
So
there's a league
source.
Right.
So they protect it. Even if it's a Patriots source, they say league.
It doesn't have to be the NFL office.
I think it could go down as all the way to player. Yeah. I think that's a league source.
But if it's a player from another team,
but
I
we
would
get
say
in trouble.
It's a league source. But
we get in trouble.
All right.
And one last thing, Mike. It's good to have a fellow New Yorker in the crew now. Is Mike here today?
He is. He
yes, how you doing?
Doing good. Good to have I'm also one of those. I'm a Yankee fan. One of those rare Yankees.
Gary's a little cranky. Don't
hey, this about. Next email.
Everybody
is...
seems to be.
You notice that?
What?
I feel like
Gary's
really
cranky because I'm a little cranky.
Well, I had nothing to do with that.
Eric's been cranky.
Gary, why are you cranky today?
Wellborn made you cranky today.
Well, he was cranky.
Yeah.
Why are you cranky?
I'm not cranky.
Think he was
yes,
cranky.
You are.
I just think he wasn't being himself.
The PFW, I mean, the
Wellborn made him
Big
cranky.
Show guys left the headsets.
No, no, you were cranky when I walked in. Usually when I walk in, you're like, hey! You're like, hey.
I was producing something.
The degree
hey!
Of the hey!
You're always producing something.
9-7.
9-7.
10-6.
So I worry about you. What's the matter, Gary? Come on, open up.
All right, I heard your theory 3 times already.
Oh,
that hurt. Now Fred's cranky.
Mother. All right, this next email is from Karen, who is one of our flight attendants. Remember her?
Yeah.
Where was she?
She wasn't on the...
Karen, I did get my Diet Pepsi, however. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I didn't get my Coke.
We're a Pepsi organization.
No, they have to put it in a cup for me now because they can't have the can showing.
Fred, you don't take it
How
in the can
How can you do
anymore?
That? We're a Pepsi,
Pepsi house.
We're a Pepsi organization.
Look, I like Coke. What can I tell you?
Fred likes it in the cup.
You like it in the can. You prefer.
Well, it is colder in the can. But Karen writes in. She says, this is your favorite flight attendant. I am really enjoying your radio program. I have become a regular listener. Especially love that intro referencing My Cousin Vinny. It's the only movie that guys quote from that I get. I love that movie. Anyway, I have no football insights, which probably doesn't surprise you. I am concerned about Matt Cassel, though. I feel like the guy was never really prepped
for the second guy position. He never got any real playing time in the years he's been here, and now it shows. Last year, there was so much attention to Tom Stach, which is a debate I am unqualified to get into, but to be a backup to Tom Brady, a great learning experience, but how do you have a chance if that is the bar? As far as the rest of the game goes, I have never been caught up in preseason results. If any mistakes are going to be made, that is where to make them. I love to listen to what everybody is saying, though. Helps to get me to know the players better. Also, it helps me to know what to look for when I'm watching. So basically, she just says she wanted to say hello. She's sure the other girls are taking very good care of us. They are. And
except Fred didn't get his Coke in a can.
No, she hopes to see him on a flight soon.
Oh, nice. Oh, okay.
I was worried that this email meant she was out.
Karen's not going back to the players and then telling them what she hears here.
Yeah, what happens in this room stays in this room.
It's just between us and, you know, except the World Wide Web.
Tell him he's a jerk. Spitting his food when you give it to him.
God. You're such a
get over it, will you?
Jeez. Let's see.
Such a bitter little man.
No more bitter than he is.
So no lunch today, huh?
No.
Huh?
Wow.
That's great.
Did we not send out the memo that the training camp, the lunches must resume after training camp is over, which is today?
Gee, did you get the guy that's looking to hook us up on Thursday?
Some guy from Canada. Hey.
Edmonton?
Yeah.
Now, I noticed that on Patriots Monday and Friday, Davios will be delivering to the EEI folks. Now,
does us no good.
Will that be poor taste if we come down here and raid the studio on Fridays when we're here?
I don't think so.
It's our studio.
Yeah. We own, this is our house.
Fred, I don't think so.
Yeah,
would that
house
stop you if it were in poor taste?
That's right. They're playing in
our
house.
It all depends.
Yeah.
It's our house. Right?
They're leaving our headphones
we
on.
We must protect this house.
Yeah, that's right.
We probably have more listeners than they do at any one period.
Look at that.
Yeah, I'm sure. What period would that be?
12 to 2.
Sign-off period?
12 to 2.
The guys calling the Little League World Series just got a plate of huge
food
delivered to them.
I'll bet you there's more people listening to us right now than listening to EEI right now.
That's the dumbest thing you've ever said since you said the Super Bowl was going to have low ratings.
12 to 2.
You apparently don't know anything about ratings.
We're hot.
I agree.
We are hot, but I don't know if we're EEI hot.
Screw them.
I agree with everything you've
Bill
said.
Bill Berry writes, in the preseason is most frustrating part of the year for me. Here you have an event that only a football junkie could love, and they still cover the game with that crappy dumb-it-down-for-the-rest-of-the-family agenda. It's a good point. You should cover these games like the draft. I want running stock ticker-style displays of depth charts and player numbers and positions. I should be glad when the first stringers finally get out of the game and the real decision-making analysis starts. Was that a great play just now, or was it something only a second or third string defense would allow? If the announcer throws up his hands and says, how can you tell, then give us the ones that can. Give us a former scout with a telestrator who can say things like, so even though this is a totally busted play, note over here how so-and-so moved his hips well to stay in position. That's the kind of thing the coaches will be looking for. Instead of, we'll just have 30 solid minutes of jabber on why so-and-so, currently pictured on the sideline, is such a great example and how that scrub out there would do well to try and follow it, mixed in with how so-and-so wouldn't make that kind of mistake they just saw, they rarely even bother to tell you who is currently in the game. Is that new rookie getting the start at corner right now? They'll let you know if he happens to cross in front of Brady chatting with Moss.
Patriots on defense, Thomas,
then he goes on, but I think you get the point.
I think the answer to this is have at least two of the PFW boys in the booth for games.
So we're capable of doing the stuff who that Bill's looking
for? Well, no, he's not going to find a scout. So next best. Who watches more practice than PFW?
No one.
That's Thank true. You. Who gets to know the players more than PFW? I was getting mocked in the locker room for saying, is John Wellborn in here today? Because I wanted to talk to John Wellborn for getting to know. Who digs deeper than PFW?
Who's talking to you besides Wellborn?
That's who.
Freddie, can you get us on the broadcast once Cricky and Randy Cross are out?
Bill ends it
Hart
up by saying, I'm writing to you because I don't know who to write to, so Fred, please steal this idea and make you look like a genius. Making those useless games a serious promotion of craft media would be considered part of your job, right? Well, not technically, but
plus, no
we
offense,
all pitch in here.
No offense, Bill, but I don't think it would work.
Why not?
Because I think the hardcore cares about Matthew Slater playing safety in the fourth quarter is a smaller group than general fan who cares about Tom Brady.
Yeah,
and
but
Randy
I would argue that by the fourth quarter, only the hardcore fans are still watching.
That's
true.
Could be.
Which is still 10 fans. So you're really still only targeting a small audience.
The other part, and actually,
that's the problem.
You know, the interesting thing to me.
Online, we could do it. An online telecast of preseason games.
I think you're
the only problem with that is the latency of the internet.
There is no latency of the internet. We've poo-pooed that whole thing.
No, that's the, when you're talking.
When the guy called and I yelled at him and I could hear it through my headphones instantly, that was no latency.
Sometimes there is, but it's not the same for everybody. Everybody is contacting the internet through different ISPs all over the
place.
So
why can't we use the KSB feed for the video, and then we'll do an online.
There might be a way to work it out.
I say we do it. Preseason 09. PFW handles the preseason.
I thought there was some restrictions in the contract that the network signed. They can't put that
preseason. You can do what you want, can't you?
Yeah, we own the broadcast.
You own the broadcast.
You can do whatever.
Yeah, we could only do it for four games.
Let's do it. All right.
And probably three, because you probably couldn't do the NFL Network.
I think it's something.
You sold me.
I think it's something to consider.
Online preseason telecast, webcast, PFW telling you that Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis doesn't have a nickname.
Well, along those lines, Bill talked a lot about that stuff today, I thought, in talking about the whole game plan thing and how, and this is, I think, where we run into problems. What Bill's looking for is, Bill said, sometimes you have a play that's called and it's one of those plays that you're planning on running, but you know going into the play that it's run into the strength of the defense and it's probably not going to work, but you're not necessarily concerned with that as much as you are the execution of the actual play and to see how the players react and whatever. We're not going to know that. No one's going to know that. Bill's idea.
We know more than Don Kricke and Randy Cross.
No,
we've watched more training camps.
There's no question. There's no question about that. But we're not going to know. You know, Bill suggested a scout. I'm not even sure the scouts would know what the game plan
either. The example that Bill used is not so much of what happened on the play, but how did that guy perform? Like, he moved his hips well. You know, scouts know what to look for in evaluating talent. You know?
Paul not buying.
That's what they're paid for.
Yeah, well, I know.
So I say we put together Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and color analyst Ernie Adams.
Well, now that would work. Now, Ernie would work.
I think
absolutely.
Propose it.
But he makes a good point. Who is your audience for preseason games?
I think that's an excellent
games?
Point.
Who is your audience for preseason game? Now, if you do narrow it down to that hardcore audience, you could be losing out on some people. The people that complain, Tom Brady didn't play. That's the audience that you're...
That's why we do it on the web or if we have our own pay-per-view channel.
Okay, so...
I've seen more preseason games working for you, Fred, than I did in my previous, 30 years.
Yeah. And finally, Bill says Eric is not gay. He's just different. By the way, Eric, I will listen to The Rook Show. You can only improve it. Any boost in listenership will be attributed to you. And since it comes on when people are not at work and actually being productive, no one expects miracles. Heck, Fred, if Eric quits, can I go to The Rook Show? So,
isn't his show 2 to 4?
2 to 4.
What are you, a teacher?
Maybe
who else gets out at 2?
Huh?
I don't even think teachers do anymore.
I think he means that a lot of people are at lunch when they're listening to us. I think that's what his point was. I might be putting words in his mouth.
2-hour lunch breaks?
It's a long lunch break.
You take 2.5, usually.
2-hour lunch breaks at a place where that ends by 2 in your home?
That includes the bathroom, too. Yeah.
You spend 3.5 hours at the gym every day.
No, I don't. Only in the off season.
That's inaccurate.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of preseason game, Dennis from Biddeford, Maine, says, because of this Time Warner NFL Network squabble, we can't watch this week's game. And more to come, I'm sure. Can you explain during the broadcast what's going on and who's at fault? Is it just greed and money? This might be preseason, but we still want to watch on free TV.
Yes, can you explain that to me? Because I got peppered with questions from my mother, who was blacked out and couldn't watch the game and was not happy.
You don't get Channel 4?
She gets Charter Communications in Westport, Massachusetts.
They don't have...
Which is 5 minutes from my
house.
They
don't have WBZ?
Yes, and it was blacked out. It
wow.
said, and
wow.
she called and had to get to a supervisor, and they said, due to ongoing dispute, it sounds like it's lumped into the whole NFL Network thing.
Wow. Oh, so the league is taking it out on Charter. That would be a league thing.
Well, she was not happy.
Yeah, that.
And I didn't have an answer for her.
Yeah, that. Now they're really getting pissy.
She was very upset.
So she doesn't have NFL Network.
Look, we talked about this whole NFL Network and Comcast and cable problem, and both sides are at fault in that.
Right.
There's no doubt
about
question.
It. Two hateable big bullies.
The league went at it, putting the value on it too high to begin with, and then the cable companies, you know, did their part to push back, and they went too far, and now they're in this pissing match, and the losers are the fans.
Who's going to give in?
Who's going to give in? I don't know. That's why the league's trying to play really hardball by blacking out, and so Charter will say, "Oh my God, we got to have it." And now they start putting, you know, but you know, I don't know who's going to give in first. I think they've asked for a mediator now. The league has asked for a mediator.
Yeah.
So maybe hopefully that will you know,
yeah,
both sides will come to their senses.
That's not going to bode well if fans, like, who is it, your mom, called, and if they called Charter or whatever cable company and say, hey, how come the game's blacked out? And they say, well, that's the league's decision. That's going to hurt the league.
Right.
That's not going to hurt Charter.
Right.
So
right.
I think it's in the
league's
best interest.
Of course, if you call the NFL, they probably say, that was the cable company decision.
Well,
it is getting ugly, too. You said that, and Andy and I had a talk with a gentleman that works for Comcast Sportsnet after the game, and they were talking, maybe you didn't hear this?
I was with you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was with you.
He was saying how they were actually giving him a hard time during the game. He's a camera guy for Comcast Sportsnet, and the NFL people were really giving him a hard time. Just... You know, I think
just to make his life difficult
over nothing more than the strife that's been caused
and
by
really
the two.
Comcast Sportsnet is different. It's owned by Comcast,
right.
But they operate in a totally different place.
And they have nothing to do with it.
They have nothing to do with it, you know. But their parent company is Comcast.
Well, my parent was mad.
Phil says from Nova Scotia, what are the chances by percentage that Lynch plays less than 12 games due to injury?
48.
I don't really want to rank things.
It's 50-50. I mean,
yeah.
What's the percentage Mayo will play out his career as a Patriot?
Oh, that's really
I'd say
tough.
30%.
Yeah.
What are these prop bets?
Because, well, I mean, what do you mean by play out? If you tell me play out his productive career, I think there's a chance. But
right.
In this day and age, guy, I mean, yeah, Willie McGinnis
agency.
Goes for 2 years.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. So, yeah, low.
25%.
What's the chances by percentage this year that Maroney will get 1,000 yards? 90%.
87.2.
I'm going 90%, Fred. Yeah. I think it's a virtual lock.
Yep.
Really?
How's that?
What's the percentage that the Patriots will sweep the AFC East?
87.
75%.
6-0 in the AFC East.
95%.
75.
Wow. I'd say it's 60.
Oh. 60. Fred, not high on this team.
Freddie ball game.
I think 60%
is
pretty good.
You like
Fred
the Bills.
Not high on this
I think 60% is pretty good.
You think they have a 60% chance to beat three bad teams twice?
6-0. Yep.
So who's going to beat him? Bills?
Could be.
You're not going to say the Jets.
So apparently he thinks they could all beat him.
I can't
say
the Jets.
Can't say
even
the
if
Jets.
I thought it, my mouth wouldn't allow me to say it.
I think that's the only chance that they split with the Jets.
I do too.
I think there's more of a chance they lose to Miami at home than losing to the Jets on the road.
Well, given their history in Miami, yeah.
So they're going to lose to Miami here.
I didn't say they're going to lose.
That's stupid.
I said there's more of a chance that they lose to Miami at Gillette than losing to the Jets.
This is starting to feel like, are they going to go 0-2, 2-0,
1-1? No way that they will lose to the Jets no matter what.
If you had said at Miami, I would have.
Well, there's no way they're going to lose to Miami at home no matter what.
Well, that's my point.
You don't think
there's
any chance they can lose to the Jets?
That's my point. There's no chance they're going to lose to Miami, and there's even a less chance they're going to lose to the Jets.
There's no chance you can't get any
percentage is less than 0.
0-0.
That's my point.
But you don't think Brett Favre is capable of just playing out of his bunghole
not
and throwing for 500 yards? And
no.
Not against the secondary. Not against.
It's not going to happen.
Hey, Ronnie Lott. And
Chris Henry signed with the Bengals, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, he's back.
That's embarrassing for that franchise.
Really,
it really
embarrassing.
Is.
That's a total joke.
Hey, Salt's in Orlando.
Hey, you got lunch?
What's going on, guys?
How's Pepper?
She's doing all right.
All right.
Is Mike there?
Yeah, how you doing?
That's too bad.
Ooh.
We've moved on.
Well set up.
Beautiful.
Well set up.
My first enemy. How are you?
No, just kidding. All
right. First of many. Don't worry.
You should have played him a couple of the shows before he signed on. He thinks it's a real show.
Hey.
Wow.
That sounds like a shot to the rest of us.
You can't. Shots
left to right.
Yeah, I like that, huh? Go call a real show.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you want to get back in our good graces.
Call Dale and Holly.
It's too late to get us lunch.
Yeah, that's a real
show. And buy us lunch.
Wow, that's Salt. He hasn't called in a long time. He's from Orlando, so maybe he was at the game.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Pissed off consumer. Not my problem.
Rob from Brisbane, Australia. How many first-round draft picks do we need on our defense before we have a premier dominant defense? We have 5 first-rounders, 2 recent Pro Bowl outside linebackers, and a Hall of Fame defensive head coach. Brewski needs to be cut.
Brewski needs to be cut.
Who's going to play inside linebacker next to me?
I really feel like I've just turned into a complete homer. I mean, I'm like a
this
house
is bizarro world right now. No. This is bizarro world.
Brewski needs to be cut.
Castle sucked on Sunday, and Brewski needs to be cut. Bizarro world. Who the hell is going to play inside linebacker?
I did find it interesting when we were in the locker room today that where Junior Seau's locker was last year is empty. So it
make
almost
sure you
like
put that in notes, Mike, because that'll be the kind of thing everybody will put
yeah.
in
notes. Almost like they're just
so
sort of patiently
like
waiting.
Munson's locker. Well, his surfboard is preserved.
Yeah. You know, it's there for the
taking?
For the taking.
Well, I mean, I think we've all sort of agreed. We think there's a good chance he could play this year at some point.
Oh, absolutely.
Probably.
Even
will.
If the season starts, right. There's a chance.
I'm just saying that lends to our speculation that you know.
Okay.
And just to clarify, there were six first-round picks on the field, correct? Because Fernando Bryant was a first-round pick.
But wouldn't that be the same as most teams?
Pick. Yeah.
You know, to have about that number of first-round picks?
I don't know. I haven't done any research.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I haven't done the research, but I would imagine that, you know, what do we have? What do we figure out? 11 or 12 total?
Yeah, something like that.
I would imagine a lot of teams are probably around the 8 to 10.
Yeah, I think the fact that all three of their defensive line are first round,
that's rare.
That's
obviously.
Rare. But to have that many on your defense, I think that's what you're looking for, right?
Everybody
has a first-round pick every year.
Well, the problem is they're driving it down your throat. His inference was,
right.
You have all these guys that are supposed to be very good, and why are they marching right down the field? It was sort of Paul's analysis of the game.
And Seymour, actually, you know, he volunteered the stuff about the Ravens game, too. And I was talking to him, and I just said, because I wanted to get into the game plan thing, and I wanted to make sure I wasn't making too much of it. So I was asking him about the game plans and stuff, and he's like, look, that doesn't have anything to do with it. You know, this is 2 weeks in a row now. The same thing happened last week against Baltimore. The first drive, we couldn't get off the field. Then I went over to Mike Vrabel and asked him the same kind of stuff, and he said the same
thing. Well, the game plan thing has nothing to do with the defense. That's
nothing to do with the offense.
That might
either.
Well, it might show why the offense didn't seem to be able to get anything going.
But no one's game planning. If you're on an equal playing field when no one's game planning.
But you're not taking,
you're all just going out and playing
the
football.
The Patriots may not have been taking into consideration what they were seeing on the field.
But that's my point.
They
neither
were
the Bucks.
No one's taking into account what you're seeing.
But you're asking two different things. I agree with you. They may not be audibling out of plays that they think won't
right.
work against what they're seeing.
Right.
That's valid.
But neither are the Bucks.
But the Bucks aren't doing that either. And everybody's vanilla in the preseason. I don't care what
that's
anyone
why
says.
I said it's no excuse for the defense.
It's no excuse for the offense or defense on either team.
You kind of go into
you're playing
games.
Football. It's backyard football. You're going out and playing, seeing who's tougher, who's faster, who's stronger.
I'm sure there were some plays that the Bucs ran against the Patriots defense that they knew at the snap probably weren't going to work.
Right.
Or their offense ran, like when they ran right into a Teddy Bruschi run blitz and right by a Teddy Bruschi run blitz.
That's a perfect example. I mean, you know, they didn't play that well the other night.
Steven Edmonton, there hasn't been much coverage on Victor Hobson lately. How is he doing regarding the scheme and his natural ability? And P.S. Paul looked good on Patriots today. Vibrant color and an edgy tone that was likely due to Brian Lowe's ridiculously long lead-in.
Make sure you go tell your friends to go fuck yourself.
I want to clean that up.
Hobson has struggled.
Thanks for that. I might want to clean that up a little bit.
Were you edgy, Paul?
I didn't think so, but maybe I was.
You cranky that day?
No, it was after the game.
Did it end in a why? Yeah.
I was worried about, just exactly what I just talked about. I was a little concerned about the way the defense allowed a 17-play drive. And that, to me, was
it was two straight weeks. The only person that changed was the corner that was getting toasted for the regular passes. This week it was Ellis Hobbs. The first week it was Fernando Bryant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, and Fred made a comment
same
to me.
Same position, though, right?
Is Rodney Harrison that important? Right.
Yeah. No, but I mean, even the
right side.
The offensive left, the defensive
it was
right.
The right cornerback that Bryant was playing that night, yes, against Baltimore.
That's worrisome.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to make too much out of it, but it's preseason. And what I saw in the preseason was somewhat troubling.
Now, Alex, he's like, is it just me or the Patriots suck more than Andy's socks? What's your perspective? Wow. What's with Brady's foot? Should we ring the alarm? Is Brett Favre coming after our asses? Wow. Fans are just
Eric's been coming after his.
Oh, see now.
Which, by
that was uncalled for.
That was.
It wasn't even funny.
But aren't most of them?
God bless you, Andy.
Well, some of them
I haven't had
funny.
One of those in a while.
Oh yeah, a lot of religion
that
in my.
That one wasn't funny.
No.
No.
Why wasn't that one funny?
No, that was.
Talking to the mic.
You never got to that other emailer, Steve's question about Mayo. I mean, about Hobson.
Hobson,
you answered it.
Has been extremely.
Okay, so
I kind of heard you.
Not even Eric cares about his opinion. He was waiting for somebody else.
All I said was that he struggled. I didn't know if he wanted.
That's been
more
the
than
story
that.
Of that he struggled. He plays with like
no
the
coverage,
threes
right.
and was on the phone in the locker room.
Even he admitted that
wouldn't talk to you.
He just now is starting. No. The light starting to come on, and he's starting to understand the schemes.
Yeah, congratulations,
and stuff.
That's
so
good because it's morning and the light is now useless.
His transition has been very slow.
Did he say that today?
Last week.
No.
GR from Goffstown, New Hampshire, fact or fiction, 4-3 teams have a better preseason record than 3-4 teams.
Fact.
No idea.
I don't have.
He doesn't have the answer. I don't know.
Oh, crap.
Well,
what kind
either.
Of game is this?
The 4-3 is the most utilized defense in college. Fact or fiction?
Fact.
That's
a
fact.
The 3-4 must scheme to create pressure. Fact or fiction?
Fiction.
I think that's fiction.
I think that's fiction. Because if you have three first-round picks on your defensive line...
And two outside linebackers who are generally defensive ends on passing downs.
Yeah, you should be pretty good.
I mean, the scheme is still the same. You're going to rush four guys on an average down. Now, it can change whether it's to the left or the middle. But you're not, like, creating these dramatic blitzes and, you know, trying to confuse them in the coverage. Every defense you can play football out of.
Joel in Merrimack. Joel's the guy who makes all those jib-jabs, right?
No, that's Josh in Arlington.
Josh in Arlington.
Joel brought us lunch.
Oh, good. I like Joel better then.
No, Joel, that's Joe from Roslindale.
Who?
Oh, I thought Joel also brought us lunch.
Now, he hasn't come to the studio, I don't
John
think.
John in L.A.
He hasn't brought us lunch yet.
No. Hey, we really know our listeners well.
Too many J names for you, Fred. I can see that.
I can tell you one thing. Nobody brought lunch today.
Falcons release Joe Horn.
Paul,
here we go.
Future Patriot.
Paul, how many Diet Pepsis has that been?
This is my third one.
Jesus.
You got to slow down there, okay? It's not good for you.
I appreciate your concern.
Paul was walking into the media tent a couple weeks ago with another Gatorade. I said, Paul, how many Gatorades is that? You?
And Fred likes to say these things out loud. Right. So, he gets the little chuckle from the peanut gallery.
Joel and Merrimack, I know it's still preseason, but I'm starting to get a little antsy. Castle is not the backup we need.
We need a veteran.
Anybody out on the current market you guys know of that we could use? Brady is hurt, and he is one solid hit away from an 8-8 season for the Pats. Matt Light, no Stephen Neal, and a banged-up Hochstein equal a lot of running plays and a lot of quick dump-off passes, completely negating Moss in the vertical game. I'm not ready to toss in the season, but after After the Tampa Bay game and after watching the Giants' first team dismantle Cleveland, I know it's Cleveland, I'm doing a little finger drumming. That first drive by Tampa Bay made our first team defense look average at best. Anybody seen Bruschi lately? Every time I see him, he's either missing a tackle or getting his arm tackle run through, and then Mayo is cleaning up for him. Oh, my God.
What does this have to do with the Giants, by the way?
An order for pass rush? Is anyone besides me getting a little nervous? Can't listen live today because I'm at work. We'll listen later. Keep up the great show.
The Giants tied in because they looked like the same Giants defense from Super Bowl against the
It's not Cleveland relevant. Browns. It's a different conference. Who cares?
No, I think the point was the Super Bowl champion from last year looks better in the Super Bowl runner-up looks worse.
Yeah,
they're ready to jump ship on this. The ship is sinking. Fans are jumping.
I'm a little surprised by the amount of negativity among the fans. I'm not nearly as concerned as the fans. I have one concern right now, and that's Brady's health.
Mm-hmm.
That's really my only concern. I don't think that they played well Sunday night. I'm not trying to put a smiley face on it. I thought defensively is exactly the way he just talked about. You know, they had a 17-play drive. They couldn't get out the field. They missed a lot of tackles. Bill talked about all of it.
Yeah.
They missed tackles. They gave up too much in first down. They, were a little lax in the coverage. And, you turn small plays into big plays at times. They didn't play well. But I'm not worried about that. I'm worried if Brady is at all affected during the season.
Yeah, we all recognize that they stunk on Sunday, but it's the second game, and you take it from there. That's it.
Word. And even Bruschi, I mean, what did he do that was overly terrible? I didn't really see him play all that differently.
He did miss a couple of tackles.
So did Gerard Mayo, who cleaned up for him when he was getting bitch-slapped to the ground.
This was not Mayo's finest moment of his brief career.
Which is not a problem either because he's still a rookie.
I've seen him do it every single day. He had an off day the other night.
I think we're jumping here a little
bit. Well, part of that is part of it, Fred, that fans have been waiting for 5.5 months or whatever it is to see the team, analyze the game, move on from the Super Bowl, and all they have to analyze right now is
not good
preseason action, and it's been questionable.
Substandard.
David writes in, I'm heading to the game this Friday, just wondering if Davio's is open, if it has any of you guys been there yet. I have been there. It's very good. However,
expensive.
CBS Scene will be open for dinner. I would suggest you go there instead.
Wow.
Having a restaurant background, I usually do not like to dine in establishments when they first open because they're all still working out the kinks. I also heard you talk about the price of preseason games. I'm taking some business associates this game, and the three tickets cost me $450. So I would really suggest you go to CBS. It's cheaper than Dobby's.
You better go to McDonald's, actually.
Holy Moses.
Wow.
Tailgate.
That to me is a trap.
Yeah, or tailgate. Yeah.
Tailgate with what? He spent all his money on the tickets. He's got no money to buy some burgers and meat.
Let's see.
$300?
It's
plenty of those available.
I saw that John Lynch is wearing number 47, Vince Red's one-time number. How did that come about? Did Lynch approach Red?
No.
Did Lynch pay Red for the number? Does the team initiate the number switch?
Yes, the team initiated.
The team did. And
sounds like they basically took his number and handed it to Lynch.
And
Lynch
said
here's your new number.
Lynch said he might do something for the kid, like take him out to dinner or whatever. So,
not kick
how about
ass.
Do something like give him 10 grand or something and send us lunch?
I'd give you my social security number for 10 grand, let alone my uniform number.
Social security. You could probably find somebody that would buy it for
you
10
know what?
Grand.
I should put
if
that
you
online,
put that up on the internet.
That. I'm going to give that a shot, actually. Identity theft, who cares?
All the
Josh wrote in earlier, not the theory again, for Christ's sake. So, but I had to keep saying it because people kept walking into the room.
People that didn't want to hear it.
Evidently, they're not buying your theory either, Fred, huh?
He didn't say he's not buying it. He just said he didn't want to hear it again. So that's all. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
The guys told Andy there was no free food today.
And you guys sure are going a long way to try and scare me. I want my Starburst steak.
Luckily, Lori came to the rescue.
You want some cheesy poops?
Yeah, I want cheesy poops.
Patriots.com Radio. Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and the long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins. The Revolution have been on fire all season long. This summer, don't miss out on the hottest ticket in town. Saturday, August 30th, international superstar and worldwide soccer icon David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy take on the New England Revolution at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. It's the Galaxy's only trip to New England this year, and your only chance to see David Beckham. This game sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Get your tickets today. Limited tickets are available to the year's most anticipated match. Start at just $27 and are on sale now. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222, or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh, my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution. We've heard about Eric's exploits on the football field, and he's heard about the upcoming game with the greats. But this is getting ridiculous, and he's dragging Kyle into his delusions of grandeur. Yes, Eric, we know it's not pronounced that way.
This is former quarterback Steve Grogan.
And former linebacker Steve Nelson.
We want to tell you about the game with the greats.
Are you one of those diehard fans who remembers our playing days, like the 85 Super Bowl or the snowplow kick?
Maybe you just want to meet the newest members of the Patriots Hall of Fame, like Ben Coates or my good friend Stanley Morgan.
Andre Tippett, one of my linebacker brothers, will be there too.
You think he'll bring his gold jacket with him?
I hope so. I can't wait to see it on him.
If you're a big-time fan, you won't want to miss the game with the greats. It's happening on October 5th at Gillette Stadium, when the current Patriots are away at San Francisco.
Get your tickets now at patriots.com/alumni.
Hey, that was pretty good, huh, Steve?
Yep, we still got it. We should call ESPN. You could be the next Mike and Mike.
Mike and Mike sounds more like Beavis and Butthead. Now, back to the guys. And Eric.
All right. Good stuff. Good stuff. A lot of production value there.
Speaking of muffins, we had some good ones today.
Lori's muffins.
Lori made good muffins.
Moist,
so. Yeah.
Moist muffins.
Yeah. Excellent.
I gave her my berries, and she gave me her muffins.
Oh, were your berries in her muffins?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I buried them. Now I don't know why there's something we're not allowed to read on the air, because we say everything.
Someone's at the door.
Hi, it's Lori Baranski. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. I'm not saying anything about my breasts. You guys, you all suck.
We're not saying anything about her breasts. We're talking about her muffins, right? And because of that, it's Muffin Jamboree. That's Muffin Jamboree.
Jamboree.
Which I can actually describe, right, Gary? Because the description is, it's the opposite of a sausage fest.
You know what would be good? I just have an idea.
So Muffin Jamborees,
Gary. Gary, we gotta get the lawyers on because we need to patent this right away.
We don't want any lawyers anywhere near us.
No, we come up. Listen, we come up with an Urban Dictionary version of the game Password.
I don't know the game.
The password is Brandon Merriweather. Right? And then you have to, without saying it, you have to
one word. You have one word to, you know.
And then I. But aren't there a list of words I can't say?
Like I would
you
say,
can't say the actual word it is.
But you only have one word to describe, so that's I would say
it's like the $20,000
terrible hands.
Overrated. Right?
Yeah. You give clues, but you can't say the actual phrase.
And the good thing for Paul is if you have four words to guess, he'll give you one.
I would just say,
Mayo!
I would just say Gasper.
Can't you just see it?
That would be
the password is Cleveland Steamer. And then that would be great. All right.
All right, speaking of which.
Next topic.
Sheila writes in, I managed to get tickets to Sunday's game in the end zone right behind the goalpost. It looked to me like the Patriots' offense was just running play over and over. Welker caught the ball three plays in a row. Jackson had the ball thrown to him in two or three plays in a row. Sammy Morris ran the ball three plays in a row. That's what it looked like to me. I might be wrong because I couldn't see the actual lineup, but it was also said by other people at the game. Am I just being hopeful and trying to save the train wreck that it was? Well, that happens a lot in preseason. You'll get a guy and you'll run a bunch of plays with him in a row. You know, Maroney will do it. That happens with a lot of teams in all preseason games.
It's the only time you can do this sort of stuff.
It happens
so
a lot
really
in all games.
I don't think Wes Welker caught 112 passes last year without catching two in a row.
Yeah.
And when Sammy Morris is in at running back, he's going to run the ball. And I don't know why fans are so angry after that game. And I mean, maybe the money's part of it. These people spent money and
they
got
spent
screwed.
A lot of money thinking they were going to see something.
But you should have known that. I mean, that's
they also
not
were
changed.
Paying probably that they heard that Brady was going to play.
All right, well, so
that's because Brady said he was going to play.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
We
have
didn't
about
play well.
We got
no
about
doubt.
12 minutes left in this show. Everybody understands and recognizes that preseason games just not worth the price of admission. You know, they're the same price as a regular season game. Everything's the same for the consumer. It's the same amount of time you spend watching it on TV. So what do you do? What's the solution? Who's got the answer here? Anyone?
Well, I've always said lower the cost of the two games by $20 or $40 and then just dump that into the cost of the other games and no one will even notice because you're now dividing the $40 you chopped off by 8. So you added $5 per ticket in the regular season. No one cares.
But then you have to reduce staff and other employees that help put the show on. Because
no, because you're still making the money. Don't pretend to me that the Patriots live check by check and can't pay the concessionaire after the preseason game. I tend to think that
they want money.
But
they want the revenue.
I'm a little with Andy on this one.
But they're
going
to get the revenue. It's the same money. Just split it up differently so the people don't have to stare at that ticket that mocks them and says $95. Instead, it says $35, and they go, you know what? That wasn't bad.
But
it was only $35.
If you add up all the eight regular season games and the two preseason games and your season, the package will still be the same amount
of
money.
The only thing that changes is the actual ticket that they have to stare at.
So then you're going to have people going, oh, look, they think we're idiots. What? That's what you're going to have people saying. That's what it is.
But it's raised regular season ticket prices.
At least it gives people the opportunity to buy tickets for preseason games at a more reasonable
rate. And say they buy them off their friend, because we know a lot of season ticket holders unload them. They're only paying $30 or whatever the face value is. I mean, I would hope the friend would just give it to them. But
now, we have people calling up, I spent $450 on tickets. I mean, that's an outrageous. I mean, that's... That's outrageous for a preseason game. $450. You could go to a playoff game for that.
Well, it wasn't per ticket. It was for three. But anyway,
I understand that.
That's still a lot.
Still $150
a ticket.
Yeah.
But that's the only solution I see is just so then that way the people that actually buy them face value or you're just not getting mocked by the ticket in front of you that has a high number value on it. Because I don't think that the thing about, oh, God, they still have to open up the stadium, you're still making the money over the long course of the long haul, and you're making the money in concessions. They're all going to be there.
And I do
the
think the NFL
money.
Has an element of these little nickel and dime things that they maybe, one thing we just had today, talking about the media guides. And evidently, there's been a concerted effort around the league to shorten them down and not distribute as many as they have in the past.
Now, I see no reason why they would do
that.
Say
why is the league interested in that?
No, that's what I'm going to say.
Because if I'm spinning that, I'm making it an effort to help the environment. I'd be making it a PR thing that
now,
we're cutting back on
paper.
They
didn't say specifically, you know, in an effort to save money. But I really see no other reason why they would be trying to make the media guide smaller and not distribute as many of them if they weren't trying to cut the bottom line.
Yeah, but it's the teams that pay for the media guides, not the league.
But the NFL as a whole is encouraging the teams to do that.
Right.
So the teams could save money. I just think there's an element of that. How much money are you really saving by shortening down the media guide and not
Garrett
giving out as many?
Garrett just handed me the Chicago Bears media guide, and they've got a DVD inside the front cover.
Nice.
Which is the entire media guide on a DVD.
Nice.
Well, they have made them available. Well, I don't know if it's available to average Joe, but there is
online
a website that they're available at.
Isn't it the NFL media website?
You know how hard it is to read a media guide online?
Sucks.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's ridiculously difficult.
Because you're flipping through trying to find something.
200 pages of PDF. No. You can't do
Instead, you're using that little paw thing
to
move
along.
See,
the media guide is truly a reference tool. It's not a magazine. It's not entertainment. It's a reference tool.
Certainly
and
not entertainment.
To have to, if I'm a media person and I have to fire up my laptop or go away from the program that I'm doing to find out information rather than having a book next to me, I'm always going to use the book.
Mm-hmm. Even for little things like a roster tidbit, you know, you want to look up and see what year a guy is. You could click on something on a team's website and get that in a second, but I would always go to the media guide and just open up the book. It's just much easier for me.
Right.
And I think a lot of people probably feel the same way, let alone look up something online on a media guide where you don't know exactly where that is on the media guide.
Right.
That could take forever.
Days. So do you think that the league is urging teams to do this?
Well, I know they talked about it last year. They urged the teams to shorten down
the
media
guide.
And the Patriots
did. Yeah. They removed the all-time draft, I think, or two or three things got axed out of it. And it says, like, for more information, go to patriots.com or you can find it online.
I won't say that they said it because of cost, Fred, but I don't really see any other reasons.
Well, it also started to become a contest. Because the Miami Dolphins put out their ridiculous one, and they were growing, like, exponentially because everybody was trying to, like, measure the length of their media guide.
And media guide envy?
I was going to see if Gary was worried in there.
I don't really see any other reason why you would.
Well, I think you can spin it as an environmental thing and say we're not killing as many trees.
All right, well, even
it's more about the thickness, not the length of the media
guide.
Yeah, but even if you know.
Now you're part of the show.
I don't understand why they can't distribute as many of them.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense. It's such a cop-out.
Saving a tree.
Maybe there's some
long they print 500 pages of notes every week that nobody even
uses. I'm
not
saying it's legitimate. I'm saying you can spin it.
The media guide is far more useful than the notes packet that comes out every week. There's a lot of useless information there that you can get in the media guide anyway.
You're an angry
They're double printing stuff. They're double dipping stuff.
You do fit in here now. Welcome to the show.
The PR departments, that's good because it's game related, though. It tells you.
Right, but there's still some stuff there you can get from the media guide anyway.
Oh, there is some stuff.
So then just cut that stuff if you want to cut back.
Yeah.
Cut back on the extra pages of the game notes.
Mild concussion for Derek Anderson.
He gets squished.
To play in the opener.
Squished like bug.
Yeah, you and your
still haven't seen those uniforms.
No, it's interesting. I didn't know that, Paul, that the league.
Well, it just happened today. We got a notice for the media guides, and it was explained by our PR staff that that's what they were encouraging. Not our staff, but the league.
But I don't understand why the league would get involved in that. It's a team-by-team thing.
Well, they get involved with a lot of stuff.
You know,
the
Patriots make a decision on what their media guides are going to look like, how long it is, what information they put out, and how many they print. The league has nothing to do with that.
Now, it might be something that they talk about when because they have
meetings
every year.
PR meetings.
PR meetings. You, as a matter of fact, you're...
I don't go to the PR meetings.
They don't happen at the same time?
No, they don't let me go into the PR meetings.
Well, I wouldn't either. But
your fight with that woman?
Yeah.
The hammer?
Oh, yeah, the hammer. Fred was good. That was Fred's finest hour. You would have been proud of Fred that day.
We're all on like 1 hour of sleep.
That was good. You were really, really good that day, though.
We'll have to tell that story at another time.
But the worst part about that is, in retrospect, we turned out to be wrong.
What do you mean we were wrong?
Because we were supposed to have done it through a different channel.
I did it through how they told me to do it. you're not going to side with them now.
I'm absolutely siding with you, Fred. I just told you it was your
finest
hour.
Well, he is everything but Patriots Paul Perillo. So
right,
he needs
and
to
I'm definitely
elsewhere.
Showing that today in this show.
You had a little edge ripping them the other night on Patriots Today, apparently.
I'm talking about 25 fans off the ledge. I'm defending the Patriots, Fred. Yeah, mark tape.
Gary, you have that marked in the tape?
You got an email over there?
I got tons of email.
Read it.
Paul wants to know, what are the chances Brady's backup isn't currently on the team?
68%.
I'm going 50-50.
40.
Okay.
That's why I put 40%. That as one of the options, by the way.
I'll say 50%.
I put that as one of the options. That's the current poll, who will be the backup quarterback, and that is an option. Other.
Yep. We mentioned it earlier in the show, but Scott reminds us, and he's from Georgia, that Joe Horn was just cut by the Falcons mm-hmm. with the slow progress of Chad Jackson and the lack of any other productive receivers on the free agent market. Is Horn a guy that may make sense as a number three receiver?
Sure. Somebody needs to.
Yes.
I think
I don't know what he has left.
I think that
and he's
makes
a bit
sense.
Of a yapper, but
he wants to come to the Patriots.
Well, don't they all?
Yeah, right? Who wouldn't?
Everybody does.
Right.
Who wouldn't?
Well,
but
Schwartz wants to retire as a Patriot.
He's a guy that has he's very highly opinionated, so I don't know.
Horn?
Oh, yeah. I don't know how well that would fit in.
The anti-Wellborn?
Oh, he's a really nice man?
No, he talks.
No, I thought you meant he was a really nice
man. Salt, who got blown up, says, I guess I'll just write my question after being blown up. Gary needs to let me finish what I was going to say before blowing me up. I was going to say you're not like a real radio show. You're a better internet show.
Oh, good.
But anyways,
thanks.
I was nice thinking job, about next year's draft. I know it's early, but do you guys see us drafting the same positions high like we have done the previous year? For example, inside linebacker to go next to Mayo, cornerback to go opposite Wheatley, wide receiver to go opposite Moss, and safety for a rotation with Merriweather and Sanders. Because players already in those positions either have one-year deals like Bryant, may not pan out like Hobson, or may retire like not so much for that.
Yeah, I mean, those are going to be needs, but partially sort of almost obvious. I mean, they have relatively young, talented defensive linemen, relatively young, talented offensive linemen where they've invested things. You have a quarterback. You invested in a running back. So there's only so many positions
spots
to go around.
And, you
and those are the oldest, slowest parts of the team.
It's hard to play that game with Bill, too, in the draft. You know, well, they'll probably draft these positions
right.
high. I don't know what the pool's going to look like, and who knows where you're going to fall, you know, where you're going to line up and who's going to be available. It's hard to play those. Those are obvious, like Andy said, but it's hard to play that game.
Speaking of what the pool looked like, Fred was doing lap in the pool, as
yeah.
Paul Perillo would say. One singular lap, the length of the pool.
When you were there, I had already done them before you got there.
I watched
there.
You the whole time.
Oh!
The only thing you did was stare at those three young ladies that were by the pool.
I saw you running your little chicken legs down by the alligators. Now, Mike, this was your first trip.
Yeah.
How did it go for you?
Actually, it was okay. I've done a lot of travel in the past.
Well, no,
so,
yeah, but never
on
a charter. Team on the charter.
Yeah, it's kind of overwhelming how you just kind of get whisked from like a plane to a bus to the hotel, and there's really no stop in between.
Now, did you mind the blindfold?
Yeah, that was a little bit disturbing, actually, and the cattle prod. I didn't really feel that much. You know, that wasn't too good.
You didn't feel it?
No, I mean not feeling it as in not like.
I hear you, bro.
Okay. But I got to say, though, the food on the plane was kind of overwhelming. Because I turned to Andy at one point when they brought out the ice cream sandwiches, and I'm like, this is just overkill. Right now. Like, this is too much.
I tried to warn him early not to say yes to everything.
No, I didn't say yes to anything. I just grabbed a burger on the way onto the plane, and that was really it. I didn't really eat anything else.
Yeah, it's a lot. But those players, they eat it, so.
Well, yeah, they eat everything. They need, like, 12,000 calories a day. So I really don't, so.
Oh,
he
man.
Doesn't talk for 45 minutes.
Wow. Eric's still here.
I will say this: it beats the way I used to travel, having to make my own reservations and get a rental car and figure out where the hell I'm going and all that stuff, and figuring out how to get to the stadium in the morning.
Carpooling with Mark Farinella.
Far and away, the best aspect of this job is
he's
our travel.
Take personal shots.
I ain't taking shots. I'm not taking shots.
I'm not taking a shot.
You could have said carpooling with other writers. Why did you have to throw a specific name?
Well, it makes more sense to him.
But also, coming back,
but not the listeners.
Coming back the night of the game is great because you're not wasting a whole day because you have to get up on that Monday morning after a Sunday game, and that whole Monday is wasted traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So you lose an entire day. This is much better.
It's better.
This is the only way.
We're up to late in the morning.
Right.
Yeah, but
it is why I'm still yawning.
It's one of those things when you're doing it, it feels like hell.
Yeah.
But then, you know, once you're home,
you're
and you get
it.
Some rest. And
I kind of like the adrenaline.
You start thinking, wow, right now I would just be getting on the plane to come home. You're grateful that
you're
home.
So I got into the business, you know.
Speaking
of
that, Paul, we have to get up to Burlington today to meet with Comcast about the PFW show.
Do I have to go or no?
Which is going to be on Comcast Sportsnet. Yes, you do.
Okay. And, well, you just said, Paul, we have to go to Comcast.
So we
got to
get going. We'll be back on Thursday at noon. See you then.
For great football talk, insight, and a little bit of humor, tune in to PFW in Progress.
Where nobody sucks, except for Flanders.
Patriots.com Radio.